Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight is Monday, February 17th, 2014. And tonight we're just going to talk a little bit about what's going on in New York, and we want to, you know, give you a look at a few other things after that, and then we'll open up for conversation. This week, as of this past weekend, New York has 49 constituted common law grand juries here in New York. So we've went into 49 counties now. And, you know, our anticipation is by the end of the month to have all 62 done. So we've got like another 12 scheduled, and then we have one more to schedule. And then we would have met our goal, and we're looking to do that before the end of the month. So we do intend on, you know, doing that. I'm kind of under the weather today, so, you know, I've got my button here. If I start coughing, I'll try to catch it and come back on as soon as I can. It seems my cold has come back, and at some points it seems worse than it was before. But we'll do our best. Gerard, are you out there? We did file, which has been posted. I believe we posted. Let me go double check. We've been so busy, not too sure what we filed up online yet or not. Let me look up on news for the latest things we've done. Okay, we delivered by sheriff to the last standing oath taker in Greene County, New York court. All the rest we know of have been placed under indictment, and so we filed the papers of that indictment to this last judge who was served by sheriff, and we're giving him 5 or 6 days or so. I'm not sure exactly when we made the serving. Maybe Gerard can pipe in and let us know exactly what day the sheriff went out. But that's in motion, and we're going to see what this guy does. We'll give him at least 5 or 7 days to do what has to be done. We really don't think he's going to do the right thing, but we can hope that he does, and we'll see what happens. let's see. Our next move, we're going to be meeting here in New York. I don't know. We're going to try to do it this week if we don't hear back from him. I would think next week we'll build for it, because we've got a busy week, especially the weekend, trying to get the rest of these counties, grand juries going in these other counties. But next week we're going to try to pull together a meeting with all of the people of New York to discuss the next move, which will be an indictment on this judge. We're going to propose to the grand jury an indictment on this judge. Should he not respond, you know, in a legal fashion. And as soon as we know what's going on with that, we'll make that posting. What we're going to do after that, I don't think we're going to talk about yet. By the time we get to that process, we will have had all 62 counties with grand juries, you know, set up inside each one of them. And we know that every time we communicate with them, we add on additional counties that have constituted common law grand juries, at least the process, of course, that is. And we know that makes them nervous. They're very, very quiet, but they're very cooperative when you talk to them, but they remain silent in other areas. I think what we may do is we might go down and talk to the judge directly. We're going to try to do that, and if not, we'll try to talk to him on the phone. Last time we did that with the last judge, he refused to take our calls. They refused to give us an appointment, so we can come down and talk with them. We do know that the next step is going to be to visit the sheriff. We can tell you that. And we're going to demand the arrest. We'll have affidavits on all of them, including this new judge. And we're going to demand, because they broke statutes, and sheriffs understand statutes, they're law enforcement agents. They surely have been taught that. That's all they do teach them. They certainly don't teach them the law. They don't teach them the Constitution. They don't teach them how to protect the people. They teach them how to arrest the people and to apply all these unconstitutional statutes upon them. And they become very good at that. We're writing letters to the sheriffs and to all of the oath takers of every county in New York. We started that last week. The last paper that we sent in is available up online at nationallibertyalliance.org, and you can see that. We also posted the Prudente letters on the top of the page. I saw some people talking about it in the email chat. And it is, I believe it's down at the bottom of the page, and it's probably inside the case itself. But so I figured I'd post them on the top of the page. So we have two letters that Prudente sent out through their counsel with her letterhead. They're pretty damning papers. And we also posted a memorandum to the Oath Keepers, which we sent out on 2/10/14, so February 10th, 2014. Today is the 17th. I tried to get it out today, but I've been so busy I haven't been able to finish off this next letter. But I think maybe tomorrow or the next day I'll get it out. And, of course, what we're doing is we're educating the oath takers. The gatekeepers of the judicial system are all oath keepers, and they consist of the county clerk, the chief court clerk, the judges, the bailiffs, and the sheriffs. And they are all oath takers, every single one of them. The sad truth is that they have all raised their hand and swore to uphold and obey the Constitution for the United States of America. And the problem is they don't know what the Constitution for the United States of America says. Whenever they have a constitutional concern, they've been trained by their superiors when they were police officers, and particularly the sheriffs I'm talking about, or whatever law enforcement agency they were in before they ran for sheriff, which they took into their, the office of sheriff, and they continue with that training of statutes, that statutes are laws, and they continue with the process of going to ask the attorneys, county attorneys, to interpret anything that might be concerned with the Constitution. But I don't know how they can be an oath taker and swear to uphold something that they don't understand. And the question I'm going to ask the sheriff is, did he lie? When you raised your hand and swore to uphold and obey the Constitution for the United States of America, did you lie? Now, I'm going to ask him dead straight that question. I'm also going to tell him that I understand the fact that he's been as dumbed down as we are, and there's forgiveness and all that. But now you know. What are you going to do about it? We sent you a memorandum. Did you read that? What do you think of that? But we send you another memorandum. We're going to be sending him another one. He'll probably get three memorandums by the time we actually see this guy. And we're doing our best to try to explain to him and all the other oath takers what exactly is the law. What is their responsibility? What is the consequences for them being negligent of their oath? If America is lost, it's because of the oath takers. It would be lost if the oath takers understood what the Constitution says. If they really meant it and they really, really did swear to protect it and to serve it, to uphold it, to support it, then we wouldn't have this problem in America. The bailiff would be arrested. Bailiffs would be arresting judges left and right, right there in the courtroom, as soon as they violate someone's unalienable right. But they have no clue that that's taken place. The sheriff would be arresting people all day long. Of course, I don't think it would go for very long if all the oath keepers were doing their job, everybody would straighten up. We wouldn't have this problem. But they're not doing their job. And so it's we the people's job to educate them But before we can educate them, we need to educate ourselves. If people think that they're going to do this and just jump in and maybe do this letter and do that letter and not become educated, shame on you. Shame on you if you're not out there learning. You need to get out there and learn. Coming to Monday night meetings is extremely important. And shame on anyone that doesn't come. I know there's a lot of people that don't come, but there are a lot of people that listen to the program during the week, and that's sufficient. That's good. It's okay. I can work with that. You know, maybe they got, I know one individual particularly tells me that's the night of my Bible study. He's in California, and he's in Bible study at 7 o'clock in the evening. And so, you know, our program starts at 6 out west. So he's traveling, he's in Bible studies. By the time he gets home, it's over. So he listens in off of the, you know, the recordings. And that's good. At least he's being updated. He's getting all the basic information, the new things we've learned, where we're at, what we're doing in New York. We are trying our best to make New York an example. We are trying our best to record everything we're doing so that you can learn to do what we're doing. You can literally take our paperwork and just change the dates and you can change the counties and the states and all that information, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. This is the blueprint. This is why we're putting it out there. But you need to understand it, and you need to go further. You need to be boning up on the common law. If you're not listening to the common law tapes, we got 4 lectures out there. If you're not listening to them, shame on you. You're not doing your duty. We have a problem, and we're only going to be able to solve this problem by being educated, to understand ourselves, our jurisdiction, who we are, to understand the enemy and their jurisdiction and who they are, to understand how they operate, to know what their next move is. We know what their next move is day in and day out now. Because they're predictable. They're extremely predictable. But they haven't got a clue on the next thing that we're going to do. And every time we hit them with something, they get surprised. They're so surprised they don't even answer anymore because they can't. They answered us with Homeland Security in the beginning by calling Homeland Security. Homeland Security sent out the FBI. At least we presumed that on 2 different events. On one event, the judge went directly to some people who went directly to the FBI and brought them into the game. They went away right away. No problem with them. They understood. They had half the story. They had pieces of the paperwork. We gave them all the paperwork. We gave them the whole story. And they said, good luck. So, you know, they have nothing. But, you know, you can't walk into these courts and be intimidated by these people. And if you don't have knowledge and you don't know what their next move is and you don't understand what you're doing, they're going to intimidate you. You got to intimidate them. You got to be ahead of the move and ahead of the game. And at the same time, we have to pray for wisdom. We have to be humble. And I know it's hard to be humble sometimes. I find it difficult to be humble sometimes with these people because they're so evil. But that's what I got to do. So I'm going to be humble, and I'm going to be polite, but I'm going to be forceful. And if it's necessary to intimidate them, I will intimidate them. And they will require that from time to time because they push too hard. They think they look at humility as weakness, and they may try to push their way through that weakness. And when they're met back with equal and greater force, they'll know. But if you don't have knowledge, you don't have equal or greater force. You're stuck, and you have no words. You need the words to overcome them. We need to understand common law. Some people are under the false understanding that we are constituting counties. We are not constituting counties. I thought I was clear with that. We are constituting the reinstatement of the common law grand jury in the counties. And we ourselves are not the grand jury. I thought I was clear with that. I want to make myself perfectly clear. We are not the grand jury. We are potentially the grand jury. We are people like everyone else. But every court, and I'll use New York as an example. New York, we have 1 Supreme Court. That's it. Just 1. Now, that Supreme Court is made up of different courts. We have the probate court. We have the family court. We have the county court. And we have the Supreme Court of the county. And I'm trying to think if there's any other court. That may be it. But that's what we have in New York. We then have the higher courts, which is the appellate court, And then there's one more court above that called the Court of Appeals. But all of them is one Supreme Court. It is not many, it is one. Now, New York has a large geographical area. It takes like 9 hours to get from the tip of Long Island to the tip of the western part of the state. It takes a good 9 hours to go through New York, maybe even longer. I know to get to the western part of the state where I'm at is a good 6 hours, and that's booking it on the highway. So maybe it's 7 hours. And to go down to the tip of Long Island for me is a good 2.5-3 hours. It's good 3 hours maybe. And then you got traffic. So the point is we're a pretty big state. We have 19 million plus people. So obviously you can't have just one courthouse. So we have 62 locations of all these courts, one in each county. And each county has a sheriff, and each county has a county jail. And that's the way it was set up. That's a great idea. The problem is that we need to set up people who are administrators, who are not working for the government, who are not elected, who are not appointed, who don't get a government paycheck from the government, just people who answer to nobody but the people themselves. And so the money that they have budgeted to control, to pay for the empaneling and, the calling up, the empaneling of the trial juries and the grand juries, but that money is paid by the controller, I presume the state, but I guess there's a county controller too, but it comes off the state budget ultimately because it's a state agency. So it comes from the controller, and they get, $3 or $4 million a year, maybe more, just to administrate for the grand juries. Well, that money needs to come over, be given to the people, an account. We'll keep an account of it, and we'll report back at the end of every year, just like anyone else should, using government money, the people's money, shall I say. It's not government's money, excuse me, the people's money. We'll give an accounting of our spending of that money, and I know we'll do it a hell of a lot cheaper than they ever could, and we'll actually have justice instead of injustice. So, of course, the people, there are four administrators. These four administrators are paid people, and they're paid a professional salary. If anyone thinks they're going to be taking these positions of a professional salary and they're not a professional, forget about it. Now, we're all in training. We're all, going to the School of Hard Knocks. We're on-the-job training. You can become a professional now. You need to bone up on common law, the procedures, the process. You need to be working overtime to save the nation. And there's a scale out there. Someone sent me a scale, and I hit it up for New York, and I got to find that scale. I know I have it somewhere. It's online. And you can get the professional salaries for the different states and, what the low and the high is. And the high in New York State was $2,500 a week. That's a lot of money. Anybody getting a salary of $2,500 a week, let me tell you, you better be good. You better know every answer to every question and every problem. Otherwise, maybe you're only worth $1,200 a week or $1,000 a week. We certainly are not going to be dishonest here. We're going to be honorable people. And the other three that are with you, if they see that you're not honorable, they're going to make the other guy honorable or ask him to leave. We need to be honorable. But we need to understand the structure. We need to understand what we're doing, And coming to Monday night meetings is not enough. It just isn't. And if asking for a minimum of 1 hour a day, I prefer saying a minimum of 2 hours a day, and I think that's the bare minimum, forget the hour, 2 hours a day, bare minimum. You should be listening to audios, reading papers, watching the videos, taking notes, studying. Everybody's got that time. I don't care what you tell me. Everybody, when they get off work, they do what they did. Most people are sitting in front of the boob tube. Shut the boob tube off. Forget about it. Let's save the nation. We don't have much time, And so anybody who is serious about taking these positions, now look, if you're not serious, if you're not looking to take the positions because you got your own profession going on or you got a good job that you're not willing to leave, but you really want to just help and organize and become a good, you know, a good jurist when you're called. Well, that individual obviously doesn't need to be studying 2 hours. Well, they really should. Until they catch up, they should do the best they can. But they need to be studying a little bit every day, at least an hour. And build your understanding of how these things work. And those people who just want to support us and they can only give a little time here or there, that's fine. But those of us who are serious about being the administrators, we really have to bone up on this. We have to really understand common law. We have to understand procedure. We have to understand how these judges think. We have to understand their fiction. We have to be able to confront them and never let them get the upper word on us. And those who don't feel confident to be able to do that for a while, that's fine. As long as you're boning up, that is the key. Someone will emerge. Goodness, I mean, I told the people in all the counties that we've gotten involved with, and I'll continue to tell the people, if you need me to travel to your county to talk to the judge because you don't feel you're ready, none of the four people there or one person or two, whatever it is, no problem. I'll go. Let's make the appointment. I'll come out the night before. I'll rent the hotel room. I'll get up early in the morning. We'll go down and talk to your judge. And I could sit on any committee I want to, just so you can too in your state. You can sit on any committee anywhere in your state. So not a problem. And that's what we all need to do. We need to sacrifice in order to save the nation. You know, we're so lucky. You know, our revolution at this point, we fight from a chair behind a computer. You know, our founding fathers were rolling in the mud. Trust me when I tell you, that day is coming for you. You're going to be rolling in the mud unless we succeed right here, now, and today. We need to constitute common law grand juries in all 3,142 counties. I'm going to take the official count as 3,142. I've been saying sometimes three, sometimes one, sometimes two. On our website, it says 3,142 counties. That's what I'm going to say. That's what we got. That's our goal. That's what we need to do. We have enough people in enough counties across America and enough people involved with us, people in the background, and people who still haven't even signed up yet, maybe because they're afraid to sign up. And there's no time for fear. Fear is a dead, it's past, it's gone. You don't have time for fear. Just forget about it. You don't have that time. You don't have that luxury. If you're going to fear something, you're never going to get anything done. And we're going to lose. You want to fear, wait till you lose, and then you can get fearful. Because if you don't do anything, then you can get fearful then too. Because when they come down the street to put lead in your head in the backyard, then hey, you know, then you better be fearing. You know, I'll tell you, we'll be rolling in the mud too if the people don't take their nation back. It starts with the courts, and that's how you take it back. So we haven't got much time. We have to do what has to be done. This is the people's courts. It doesn't belong to the judges. It belongs to the people. We're not out here, you know, setting up the court and taking control of the court, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 people and controlling all the juries. We're not doing that. We are empaneling juries. The four administrators don't get to sit on the jury. They're too busy with the administrative work. They got a job to do. They have investigations to do. And they bring what the problems that they can't correct. They go out in the name of the grand jury to investigate a complaint or a problem that they're aware of. They do the best they can to figure out what the problem is. They tell the people what they need to do. They write a prescription. And they either fix it or they don't. And if they don't fix it, then it's our duty to take it before the 25. You are not the 25. You are the administrators of the 25. And you take it to the 25, and you lay out the case before them, and you try to convince them, if you believe that these people need to be indicted, you try to convince them, and I'm sure they'll agree. Okay? It's their duty and their job. It's a pool. We're not picking this person, that person, the other. No, we're picking anybody who has the numbers come up, has the names come up. We'll float through the pool that we're building, and then we'll flow right into the voters log, you know, the voters' rolls. And so we'll pick a jury from the public. We're not controlling this stuff. They may think we are. They're as dumb as we are. So they don't know what we're doing. They think whatever we're doing is wrong and we're trying to control it. Well, they're kind of right that we're trying to control it because we're the people and we're trying to give it back to the people. It's not just me and you. It's all, 300 million some odd plus people in the entire nation, whatever it is. Okay, so, we have to then, we also have to be there when the prosecutor brings a charge before the grand jury. Whenever there is a prosecutor in the room with the grand jury, there should be one of those four people sitting in the corner somewhere just listening. Because if he violates the law, if he puts pressures on these people in such a way or tells a BS story in any way to force these people to indict, because the government wants to indict somebody, then we're gonna talk to that guy. But if they got a real serious, real legitimate complaint, then, the grand jury should indict. But we want to make sure that they don't get hoodwinked. And because, the people that are being called in, they're not necessarily studying. They haven't learned these things. We only get maybe 6 to 8 hours to orientate them. Should be enough time to really put them in a good mindset, give them the proper tools they need to be able to go out there and make a good, honest judgment that they can feel honorable about. And we're going to teach them honor. We're going to teach them, to be just. We're going to teach them to be merciful. But they get to figure that out all on their own. The 25 people as a grand jury, or the 12 with the two spare wheels as a trial jury. They get to figure that out. The only time we actually get to sit on a grand jury is when we're unified. And the reason we do that, and that's a short period of time, how often will we have to act as a unified grand jury? Well, in the beginning, maybe quite a bit. Until we get authority and power and get a seat in the courthouse, yeah, probably quite a bit. But once we get in there, we're going to go up and we're going to talk on behalf of the grand jury. We're going to talk to the Assembly and the Senate. And we're going to go talk to the governor. We're going to make sure everybody understands, what's going on and that they need to obey the Constitution. And we know that they haven't been. And ignorance of the Constitution is no excuse. If you have to make an action and you don't know whether it's constitutional or not, don't make that action. Go find out. Come ask us. But don't make that action. And so that's about it. I mean, I can't think of much more need for the unified grand jury unless it's something nationally. We come together with other states. That could happen in the future. That's something we'll think about in the future. We don't know. We've got to get all the other states on board, and we'll see how the country shapes up at that point. I think once all the states get control of their local courts, I think the whole country's in great shape at that point. Everything's been put in constitutional order within your state. Then it's got to be on a federal level. We're good. So, but anyway, I want to make sure everybody understands what this job is and what it's about and what it means. And if you think you're going to be ignorant and free, forget about it. That's what Jefferson told us. And so you can't be ignorant and take these positions. We become school teachers. We become investigators. We become counselors. We have to become knowledgeable in the procedure, the process, and common law. And to some degree, we have to understand the fiction. Not so much anymore. Remember, the fiction was taken off the universal commercial codes, which are real law, and it does involve itself from time to time within the states. It could come up, and there's some legitimate things that could come up out of that. But there's no way that people should be drugged into that kind of a setting, a commercial setting, under fraud in order to hijack their court from a common law court to a nisi prius court. And I got to believe by now everybody knows what a nisi prius court is, but maybe there's some new people. A nisi prius court is a court that is created by statutes and rules by statutes. It's not a court that has any authority over me. They don't have no jurisdiction, and I do not give them any consent. And it's up to you whether you're going to give them consent or not. If you plead, you've given them consent. If you argue the point, you've given them consent. The only thing you could do when you walk in an AC Prius court is deny them and then sue them if they continue to bring you into their jurisdiction. That's all you can do. Every court in the United States is an AC Prius court at this point in time. All the Supreme Courts, and there's only one Supreme Court here in New York, but they have all these locations, all these courts, all these judges, they're all operating AC Prius courts. They're hijacking the people every time they walk into them. They run and rule by statutes and not by common law. And when you go into those courts, you have to deny them jurisdiction and bring them back into the common law side of the court if you're going to get justice. If you don't know how to do that and you don't understand what that means, then you will never win in these courts. And if you're going to be an administrator, you need to know these things. So one more time, we are not electing counties. We are electing the process back in the county. We're doing the honorable thing. There is no requirement to do what we are doing in order to establish these grand juries. We can bypass that whole system. We don't have to call for a meeting. We don't have to put it in the newspapers. But that's not the honorable way, and they'll cry foul. So we're doing it the honorable way. We're bringing it to the people. We're putting it in the newspapers. When we finished, we would have put this in every local newspaper across the nation, and there will be no excuse from nobody. Everybody will have been informed. They may have decided not to pay attention. They may, some of these newspapers might have decided not to give us any writings, any news on it. Shame on them, woe is them. They have no clue what's coming on down in America. But we're doing the honorable thing, and we're calling the people, and we're explaining to the people. And maybe not a lot of people show up. Nothing we could do about that. We've done the best we could. We've been honorable, and enough people show up to say, hey, yeah. And you know what? If just one person shows up and they say, yeah, well, it's a Fifth Amendment right. You got it. If 100 people show up and 99 of them are enemies of liberty and say no, and one person says yay, guess what? You got a Fifth Amendment. You got it. You see, all we're doing is being honorable by doing it, just being honorable people. And that will bless us on the one hand. It'll rile the enemy on the other hand. They don't understand this, and they'll, you know, they find it harder to make their argument when we do it this way. Now, there's a procedure and a process in the courts on how we're going about it. If you're not paying attention, then you don't know. I get people who tell me, well, what you're doing in New York, you know, it's moving too slow, or it's not going to work. Not a lot, but I get them from time to time. Maybe they don't need to be with us. We don't need impatient people. Maybe they should just leave us. You know, if we don't have patience is a virtue. Justice is synonymous with virtues, godliness. Patience is part of godliness. If we're not going to be patient and we're going to haphazardly jump into things and do things without thinking, we're not going to be blessed for that. So you need to pray for patience. I'm not happy that it's taken as long as it has. I feel it should have been done earlier. You know, New York should have been done a long time ago. If I didn't get involved with the nation, New York would have been done sometime in September. We'd be far past where we're at now. But, you know, rest of the nation wanted to jump on board, and we involved our time with that and took a lot of time away from us in New York, and we did what had to be done. But now we're full speed ahead. I've been ignoring things on a national level a little bit the last couple of weeks, and one more week, you know, I'm doing what I can to keep up on things, but it'll be another week, and then I can put my attention back on the national end and start working with state coordinators to really start getting them moving. Some of the state coordinators we have become lumps on a log. You know, if you don't understand what it means that when you get people to bring people together and people become lumps on a log and then you become that, well, you shouldn't have taken this position as a state coordinator. We have people who are asleep at the wheel. They're not out there doing their jobs. You know, we got state coordinators for most of the states. I think we lack about 12. And in some states we have more than one. But I want to tell you, I get complaints all the time. People call the state coordinator. They don't return the calls. They're not answering. They're busy. Well, I'd rather have only 10 coordinators throughout the nation working than 50 coordinators throughout the nation not working. It's worthless. We look at You have to get your state done. Anybody in the hearing of my voice that realizes and understands what we're doing, and they understand the importance of how fast this needs to get done, there's not one reason you can give me, and I said this last week, and I'll say it again, and I'm going to continue to say it. I want to hear anybody give me a good reason why you cannot have your county constituting the common law procedure for grand juries in your county. I want to hear the reason why you can't do it within the next 10 days, because I can't think of one, not one. I'm telling you, we have enough people right now that we can constitute one-third of the nation within 10 days if everybody was paying attention and got up and constituted their county. All you need to do is make a phone call to a couple of libraries or the back room of a restaurant somewhere or wherever you have your meetings for your liberty meetings. It's not hard to find a place, just as long as it's not a political place. And you call up and you see if you can come in next Tuesday or next Thursday or whatever day you set it for. And then once you got that set, you call up all the local newspapers. You get the fax number or the email to send them a press release. You're not taking an ad out in the newspaper. You are sending them a press release. It doesn't cost you a penny. It costs you 10 minutes of your time on a phone and a fax machine. That's all it costs you. And the printing of the paper, the fax, that's it. All of these instructions is under the Juris tab. And if you go highlight the Juris tab, underneath that, you will see how to start a jury. We made it as simple as possible. We put a video up there. Watch the video. Right above that video is a zip download. Download the zip. See all the paperwork that you download, and as you watch the video, pause it and look for that paperwork. We even show you where in the zip file it is. Couldn't make it any easier. Everything is a fill in the blank. Go get your common law grand jury constituted within your county. So you download, you look at that stuff, you download it. Okay, you probably, of course, should do that before you make the phone call. Everyone that's involved with us should have already long time ago done that. We have jurist orientation. Has everybody been through the jurist orientation? If you haven't, go back and get through it. Why we must act quickly? Does everyone know why we must act quickly? If you hadn't, go back and click on that link. Every link in the jurist link, under the jurist links, you should be thoroughly, thoroughly studied. Every single link in here. The jurist documents. If you want to know, we write papers to make clear the situations. You know, what exactly is the grand jury? You know, how do they get paid? You know, all the different questions. You know, we got just answer everything. Okay, right out there on the jurist document page. By what authority do we act? We got indictment examples down there. We have the plan. We have a presentment. We have summons examples. We have affidavits, the administrator's duties, detail by detail. If people don't know the answers to these things, you're not reading, you're not studying. We put a breadcrumb trail right on the jurist. Go click on the jurist button itself. And that page will lead you through the site. There's a breadcrumb trail here. It tells you what to do next, step by step by step. By the time you get through all those steps, you'll then be moving into your classical education, and you won't need to have a step-by-step for that because you would have thoroughly went through most of the site and seen other things that you haven't been focused into, then you go do them. You know, we've never been taught American history. We have all kinds of lectures on American history right on our website. Well, we have about 15 hours of constitutional course right on our website. How many people have not taken those courses? How many people have not been reading the website? Don't depend on Monday night's meeting. It's not enough. And don't not come to Monday night meetings, because Monday night meetings is for the purpose to train you, the on-the-job training. We're showing you what we're doing in New York step by step by step. You know, Drod has had some family issues, you know, some illnesses and stuff. I've had some illnesses in my family. My wife's been ill. I've been ill. And so things have been a little hard, especially trying to talk. I talk a lot, and it's really hard on me sometimes, and I'm on the phone all day long, phone calls all day long. We're writing all day long. We're calling people all day long. We're getting calls. We're making plans. We're doing all kinds of things. We're busy, busy, busy all the time. And so we'd like to move faster. It's not on my time schedule. I realized a long time ago, it's not my time schedule. I get anxious. I say, hey, we're going to get this done by this, or we're going to do that, and it doesn't work, and I kick myself. I shouldn't have said that because I should know better. Okay? And the only reason I know now that I can say that we will have every county in New York done by the end of the month is because they're already on the schedule for us. We're going to complete that before the end of this month. There may be one county that we have to chase down that we haven't set up a schedule for, and I'd like to get that between the week, maybe next week sometime. But we're going to get it done. We're going to get all 62 counties, and we're going to go enforce to the sheriff, and he's going to do his duty, or we're going to have him arrested for felony rescue. We're going to explain to him very clearly, you did raise your hand and swear to protect and uphold the Constitution for the United States, did you not? Yes, I did. Can you explain to me what the First Amendment is all about? How about the Fifth? Tell me about the Fifth. I'm going to get stuttering. You got to get on the phone and talk to that attorney who's going to talk to you about statutes and not the common law? Because what we're talking about is the Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights is a common law document. It has nothing to do with statutes. That's the will of the people. That's the will of the people for you to obey and to do. And if you raised your hand to swear and obey, did you lie? So we'll be patient with him, of course. I'm being a little stern here a little bit, but to make it a little bit dramatic, but we're going to be very kind with him. But we are going to speak like that, and we'll do it humbly. And we're going to let him know we understand. I was as dumb as you are not long ago. I was just as stupid as, just a dumb slave, just like you. I believed all this stuff they told me. Why don't you go read the Founding Fathers yourself? We'll bring our books with them. We'll give them copies of books. Okay? Hey, read the papers right here. We're writing letters, as I mentioned, to you every week. We're training them. Everybody should be doing that right now. Everybody. Everybody should have already downloaded last week's letter that we sent to all of the oath takers in our county. In our state, okay, you should have already downloaded that. You should have gotten together meetings across the state to decide to do the same thing as we're doing. You could take exactly, there's no reason to change anything in there except for the people who it's going to, what state you're in, and so on. Other than that, there's nothing else to change in there. Educate these people. Get a weekly memorandum going to every oath taker in your state. If the oath takers start to understand that they've been dumbed down and they've been suckered, and it wakes them up, it'll wake some of them up, and then those others will wake others up, and they'll wake others up, and they'll that's how it happened to us. It'll be the same way there. Some will say, wow, you know, wow. And say, oh, I don't know. Well, no, did you read that? Look, they'll be talking at the coffee pot. They'll be talking at the cooler. Let's get it done. To educate these sheriffs. So when we go in there, they should be educated. We're kind of hoping by the time we go in and talk to our sheriff, he's kind of boning up, because let me tell you, this next letter is going to be heavy. I'd love to have finished this, but I've just been so, so busy. But I want to tell you, here is the title of the memorandum going out to the sheriffs this week, as soon as we perfect it, hopefully in the next 24 hours. It's entitled Sovereigns, Terrorists or Patriots. And we're going to tell them exactly what the government has been telling them. We already know what the government's been telling you. We know exactly what they're telling you. So we're going to tell them what the government's been telling you. Oh, yeah, that's what the government says. Well, let me show you what that really means. Why don't you ask them where their authorities come from when these people start to tell you about this, that, or the other thing, that we're crazies, or we're sovereigns, and sovereigns are terrorists. And, you know, how come you don't know where that word came from? You know? On one of these things that they tell the people, in one of these letters I was reading to what they give to the police enforcement, okay? They say that, let me read this. The United States Federal Bureau of Investigation classifies sovereign citizens as extremists among domestic terror threats. Sovereigns often say, when people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is freedom. Wow, what a turnaround. And we get to reveal the author of that statement, Thomas Jefferson himself, without which there would be no America. Thomas Jefferson from the American movement, and there is no America. It never would have been. It never could have been. That's true about George Washington, too, by the way. Even if you have a Thomas Jefferson, if there was no George Washington, you wouldn't have America. That's true about Benjamin Franklin, you know. If there was no Benjamin Franklin, we wouldn't have an America. It was Benjamin Franklin who got the whole thing going. It was Benjamin Franklin who was the mentors of our founding fathers. He was the elder. He was the one they all went to understand and to talk. They were all educated, self-educated, but he was the man of wisdom. Oh, I forgot. He's a womanizer. Yeah, he's just worried about going out and running around with women. I forgot about that. I heard on TV some stupid thing about the founding fathers, and they were talking about Jefferson, what a deadbeat he was, and he died owing millions of dollars, and he was he wasn't really anything. I swear to God, that's what I heard on History Channel. I think it was this evening or this afternoon. My wife had recorded it, and she was watching it. Made me sick, and even she turned it off. Okay, this is what they're telling people. You know, when we have the FBI come out and they show us the papers, where's the rest of it? What are you talking about? Well, that's only a part of it. Really? Yeah, here's the whole thing. Here, take it, read it. Wow. Their eyes open up. You know, they come out and they call them a terrorist, and they got this little piece of paper with the word sovereign on it, and did you write this? I said, why do you ask? So you got here sovereign. Is that what you are? You one of them sovereigns? And I says, well, are you a sovereign? I says, you know, I did print that out, but did you see who actually wrote that? So what are you talking about? I gave him the full copy. Oh, you see, it wasn't me that said it. I was just quoting the United States Supreme Court. You know, these are the people that bring these things up. And this is how you go after these people. This is how, you know, let them attack you all they want. You know, even bad news is good news. It'll get attention. And then when you make idiots out of them by, you know, just saying the truth, look at they twist everything we say. Everybody knows they do that anyway, you know. All we're trying to do is get the people in charge. It's not about us, you know. And we bring in Scalia. Show them what Scalia had to say. Look, they're saying that common law has been abrogated. Really abrogated? Then the people are irrelevant. The Bill of Rights is gone. You have no U.S. Constitution. Well, when I go to court, you know, I don't have a Constitution in there. They totally ignore it. I could bring it up till the cows come home, and it doesn't matter. They totally ignore it. They don't care. And they're bold about it. But if you don't understand your enemy, you don't understand by what jurisdiction they speak from, if you don't know who you are, and you don't understand the jurisdiction that you should be in, and you don't know what the next move is, because they are so predictable, it is pathetic. I can walk in any court now, I know exactly their next move, and I know exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm going to muzzle them all. That's because I know who they are, I know what jurisdiction they're in, and I know who I am, and I know what jurisdiction I'm in. And when you know that, you got the whole game, because they don't have a clue on what you're going to do next. They don't know. And when you do it, they go into cardiac arrest. So people need to learn. They need to study. They need to get out on the website and study, 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 study. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your children. You owe it to your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your extended family. You owe it to your friends and neighbors. You owe it to man. You owe it to God. Anything less is not acceptable. Right now, God demands 100% of all of us, not 99%. I truly believe we're fighting God's fight because we're fighting for justice in the courts. And our justice came to us from the mountain back in Moses' day. And it was brought to England, and they made the big mistake of getting a king. They didn't take the lesson of Samuel in the Bible. When the people wanted a king, they went to Samuel, and Samuel said, "Hey, Lord, you know, they want a king. Go tell them you got a king. I'm their king. They don't need a king. I'm your king." Goes back to the people. God says, "He's your king. You don't need a king." Oh, they want a king. Goes back to God. They want a king. Okay, I'll give them a king. Go choose one. And they destroyed themselves. They chose Saul, and that just whole thing went downhill from there. Okay? Now, of course, God rose up David. And then, of course, he represents Christ, and it brings us right into, you know, the Lord is King of Kings. We're all kings. He's the King of Kings. And our courts should be just. When there's a problem and it comes into our courts, there's justice should be gotten. And if justice is not gotten in our courts, then we have courts of injustice, obviously. And God's not going to bless a nation that is unjust. Because if their courts are unjust, the whole head is sick and ill, filled with putrefying sores. The whole body is ill and sick and dying. The political process is just corrupt as the courts will be, or as honest as the courts will be. If you have just courts, you will have a just political process. There can be no other way. It's just the nature of whatever is. Because the courts will maintain justice even in the political realms. So what are we going to do about all this? Are we going to go back to watching our TVs after we finish tonight? Or tomorrow when you get home from work and you have your dinner, you're going to go back to your TV for 2-3 hours or whatever it is you do? Or are you going to learn how to save this nation? Are you going to get on the phones and start talking to people? Are you going to get activities going? Are you going to make sure you're at the Monday night meetings or at least listen to the programs after to find out what the next step is? Are you going to be reading the memorandums that we send? They're going to teach you as much as they're going to teach the oath takers the law. Are you going to be reading the documents on the – look, at we're not wasting our time writing these documents, are we? We're trying to explain to everybody how things work and give them the little details, you know, the nuts and bolts. You know, don't depend on me. Depend on yourself. This is not a dictatorship here. We have no intentions of leading people anywhere. All we're doing is leading you to God and leading you to become your own person, to step up and do what has to be done and follow the king. That's all we're doing. We're not doing anything more. We're giving you all the tools necessary to do it. The moment I start giving orders is the moment you need to leave this website. Well, if anybody else ever replaces me and they start giving you orders, you need to leave this website. Training and teaching people will hold your hand as long as we have to, but you got to fly on your own at some time. You got to go and eat the necessary meat and drink the necessary milk in order to get the ability to take flight on your own. All right, anyway, I guess I went on a rampage of preaching here, but in any event, I meant every word of it. With that, I guess we'll open up the mics. Gerardo, you're on? I guess not. Okay, we'll take a call coming in from 201 New Jersey. You should be hearing. You're unmuted. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Jason. How you doing, John?
How you doing, Jason? I had a feeling it was you.
I'm always the first one. I want to be the first. And thank you for another great evening. Really inspiring. I'm very thankful that you are who you are and what you're doing for us. Just to give you an update with what's happening in New Jersey, I sent out a whole bunch of notices for Oath Keepers of New Jersey. That's the organization Oath Keepers, about us joining forces and how much we have in common. And also, I'm showing action, showing activities, and leadership creating results. I've also want everyone out there to start making postings to your Facebook links and get out what you're doing. Again, everything should be positive, and you are not being demonstrative. You're being a positive person. Last Saturday, I'm working with Lydia Radin from Crooked Doctors. I've been working with her since March or April of last year. We did an hour show on the common law grand jury. It's now, if you go to Crooked Doctors, everyone can see that on YouTube. And it's Lydia with a mask and me on a photograph because I was home in Jersey. Also, this week, actually today, I just did an interview with the Jersey Journal. And I also asked the reporter before he even started to ask questions to video to go to the welcome page and do a look at that video so that an engaged, enlightened reporter can ask intelligent questions. Again, what I was reported by Michael Conte of the Jersey Journal was very positive, and he was basically being fair and even. Now, on another note, we're going to have a meeting in Somerset County in New Jersey tomorrow at the North Plainfield Library from 6:30 to 9 o'clock, and I'm going to be following your lead, John. As soon as Middlesex gets a date, we're going to have Sussex, Passaic, Union, and Ocean involved in there, and that will bring us up to our 11 counties being constituted. Now with only 10 left and to do the restatement, thus the common law will be coming through. The wave of change will drive them insane, and which is very important. And again, I like the fact that we got to get off our laurels and make sure that we're doing our best. There's nothing worse than thinking we're doing something and we're still driving our thumbs on our games. Now, I think a little thing like, you know, drink the wine and stop the whining. You know, it's you can always find the time and to do what you need to do. Again, New Jersey is looking at 60-day getting ourselves in reinstated for the entire state. Now, John, you did a fantastic job on the Power Hour. Do you know how many people joined up from your powerful display of your wisdom and your honor?
Well, I'm not too sure. I don't think we had as many sign-ups as we did get when we did the Drake Show. You know, Drake's show was national also. Matter of fact, I think he was international, but he's national. And when we did the Drake Show, I happened to know we got like about 123 people in like a 48-hour period of time. And we also, did some really heavy hits. We had at least 1,400 more hits than we normally would have gotten. Now, we did get a lot of hits for the last couple of days, probably at least 600 or 700 more hits than we normally get for the last, for at least 3 days after. Our ratings continue to get better no matter what, so we continue to grow. But we didn't get as much a response as we thought we would have with the Power Hour. That's just the facts. So we'll see what happens in the next time around. I really think that the place we really need to be is on the Glenn Beck Show. I think that's where we're really going to get the big hits. But that's in the Lord's timing. I know people are working on that and wondering where that's at. But I get calls for radio programs all the time, so I go on radio programs. I got a couple coming up. Let me see. I don't think I have anything booked right now, but I got two or three of them that are, going to be calling me up. I told them, give me a call anytime, and if I'm not busy that day, I can come on. So I try to get the word out everywhere. And of course, my big focus right now, I've been quite sick and running around the state being sick anyway, but my big focus is New York, to get New York accomplished so we can do the next step here in New York, which we really got some interesting things we're talking about and what we're going to be doing next.
That's fantastic. One thing I suggest to our state leaders, when you download your list, try to organize it in the counties. And you can actually see all your people that are in the same counties. And once you try to touch out to your county people, text those individuals of other people in the county so there's a unified front, so they're not sitting there alone. And being, again, the fear factor of the unknown is the strongest glue in the world. And if we live in fear, ignorance, and can't think for ourselves, you are owned by the devil. And I know everyone who's out here on this show is not owned by the devil, but an angel and a servant of God. Whoever your God is, I know your God is a good God, because God doesn't make us meet by mistake, nor do we want to be people who are not being positive and engaged from there.
Well, I appreciate that, and I believe that, I know that the God of the Jews, the Christian, the God of the Christians, and the God even of the Muslims is the same one God. There are fanatics in all of those three groups. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about the fanatics. I'm talking about the godly people. And we all share the same God. It's the governor of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And I appreciate that.
I appreciate that too, John.
Anything else?
I just want everyone to keep up the fire. I was looking at, we have 129 or so counties. Less than the last week, where the numbers are coming in, and just to follow, as I say, follow John's lead, get those notices out, and really think about it. Even if no one shows up for that county, you opened it. You can still, to my knowledge, John, you still constitute that county, because you did put it in the newspaper. Whether those people in the county don't show up, there are the majority who did, and you did, by all intents and purposes, you did
right.
Your diligence.
Yeah, absolutely. This is not just a county thing. This is a statewide thing. There is one grand jury, and it is important for me in Dutchess County. I live in Dutchess County, New York. It is extremely important for me, for Orange County, to do what we're doing so that they can set things up. And we'll help them along and do whatever has to be done. And that's true. We've been going out and doing numerous counties at one time in a reasonably local, to most people, location that is convenient to everyone, that no one has to drive any more than an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours at the most. But a lot of people, hopefully are closer. And the counties that don't show up for that, we do elect them anyway. And then we hold their paperwork. We don't file the papers. We hold their paperwork for them. And as soon as someone steps up in that county, we'll turn it over to them. And they need to go out and purchase the seal. They need to then seal their papers and then file it with the courts the way we teach them, and with the county, to let them, it's really for a memorial, okay? And then jump on board and work with us to get into the courts. And everybody needs to be doing this. There's no reason. I'm telling you right now, look, we've had a lot of movement in the past week. I find it interesting, because there was a newspaper who did a bad story on us not too long ago, and they were laughing at us in the newspaper, so to speak. Then they showed the picture of our counties and how many had been constituted, and they said they didn't even get one. Look at that. But the thing is they came to us just when we were moving to the site, and we hadn't set the numbers yet. Nobody knew how to get in there and post their counties that had been elected. And that took a little while. Then all of a sudden it shot up to about 60 or 65. And then in the past week and a half, it's gone from 65 to, 124 right now? So 124. So we've got 124 counties right, that have reconstituted common law grand juries within their counties. And I'm telling you right now, if everybody that is involved with National Liberty Alliance within their own states got up and made sure that their counties were constituted within the next 10 days, we'd have 1,000 counties constituted easily. Okay? That's one-third of the nation. Florida is going to be done soon. Matter of fact, Jersey, you and Jersey might beat out Florida. Hagan, you hear that? And Hagan's been working hard.
Well, it's not a race against each other. It's a race against ourselves.
Well, we could make it competition. We could make it a competition. I'm going out next month, and I'm working in Connecticut. There are 8 counties in Connecticut, and we're going to get Connecticut together. We've got
great
people in all but 2 counties. We're going out to give a presentation. It'll be a 2-hour presentation to some liberty groups. And by the time we get through that, we'll probably have people in every one of those counties. In the following week, we're going to go to the center of the state. It's a very small state. We're going to go to the center of the state, right on the artery. I believe it's Route 84. And we'll go right off 84 in the center of the state. We'll find a place, and we will have a meeting for the entire state to constitute in one day, eight counties. And we'll invite all eight counties to come. Then we're going to go up. That's what we all have to do. When Florida's done, they're not done. When Florida's done, they need to help Georgia and Alabama, Mississippi and South Carolina. When New Jersey's done, you're not done. You got to work.
No.
Pennsylvania's working very close. But I'll tell you what, Delaware and Maryland, I believe, is moving quickly. I can tell you we're going up to Massachusetts. We're going to go to New Hampshire. We're going to go to Vermont. And we're going to get those states done.
Yeah.
And
John,
Just
a comment. I saw that post from that county. They weren't that paper they sent back to you with their remarks. It was so repugnant and so unprofessional. They didn't even bother to use their own letterhead. How stupid are you, with lack of pride, to attack us for their babbling when they weren't even professional with their documentation? So
absolutely. And let me tell you, it's even worse than that. It was worse than that because they treated it as if we were filing something, and that wasn't filing anything. We were just sending a letter to the people. That's all we were doing. They didn't even read it far enough. And anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, go out to nationallibertyalliance.org, click on Breaking News, okay? And we have up towards the top, we received February 12, 2014, from Broome County, New York, an answer to the memo of 2-12-14. It's a PDF answering the 14-210 memorandum. Now, this is the county clerk, okay? They didn't understand. But the unprofessionalism of what they answered with, we haven't even responded to them. Gerard suggested, let's put it on the site. Let's mention it on Monday. I forgot to mention that. Thanks for mentioning it. Let's mention it on Monday, and everybody should download that PDF, read it, and then you should respond to Broome County, New York's county clerk to see once what they're talking about. Why would they respond to the people like that? Let them know that we're not just in New York. Let them know we're all over New York. Let them know we're from Jersey, California, New Mexico, Ohio, Florida. Let them know
basically
we're here.
You're saying, John, bombard them
right.
with
call them
everyone.
Up. Or send them letters.
Every county
that's
that
right.
we have, every person bombarding it. That's a lot of fax paper that we can really show how indignant they were and
we can show how organized we are and how widespread we are.
Right.
I'm going to
bow to the next person. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm getting goosebumps talking with you. I'm getting excited sitting here. If anyone can't feel those goosebumps, then your vascular system is dead and you don't feel anything. And we are all survivors. Whatever we go through, it just makes you stronger. And the minute you can get up, a man is never a failure if he keeps on getting off the ground. No one is, you're never a failure. Even when you're dead, if you still believe that you're doing something that was affirmative by appointment of God, you are enriched. Every person you touch, you enrich. Be the best person you are. There's four agreements that we have to follow, and it's called... If your word needs to be impeccable. Don't make assumptions. Don't take things personally, and do your best. If our politicians, our elected officials, can do that for us, we wouldn't have the craziness.
Yeah, but
they'll
never do it though. Yeah, look, we cannot rely on politicians. They're all in the power. We the people have got to do the job. All right, Jason. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. God bless.
On.
I appreciate it.
John,
you too,
before you go on,
yeah, go ahead. I know you wanted to talk.
John.
Go ahead.
I have something to say. Kathy was asking me about where the memorandum that Prudente originally sent out. People were wondering where that was. It's the memorandum is. I know it is. I know it's in the presentment and the evidence files.
Right. Right.
But I don't see
but
it.
But it's
at
also
the top of
if
page.
You go to the yeah if you go to Breaking News page, okay. I just put it up there 2 days ago because I saw the conversation online, and it says the first thing they say, by what authority, rebuttal. The second thing is letters from New York court through counsel, Prudente through counsel, 9-26-13, Prudente through counsel, 10-10-13. This was on her letterhead, okay, But it was signed, one of them was signed and the other one wasn't, but both came from her letterhead, and the counsel said that he was talking on behalf of Prudente, and that's the letters that he sent. They sent out. There's two of them.
Right. Okay, so that's if people want to know what catapulted us into this, I mean, that's where we started. That's why we ended up going where we went, and it's important for them to read that, you know. And the other very important document that is in the presentment, which is on the bottom of the page, because that was one of the first things we did, is the declaration of filing. In that declaration of filing, that's where we picked apart Prudente's words and the Hughes versus Hayes and the misstating of the Constitution and all that stuff that they put in that letter. That's where it's picked apart, and that's a very important document for people to read to understand, you know, the mindset of the judges and the courts and the attorneys. And we picked apart their words, and we picked apart even the cases that they gave us, like that one case where the two judges said that it's clearly unconstitutional, and the other three said, oh, no, this is fine. But that's where they said that the common law was supplanted, and the word abrogated was used in the 1790 Constitution, where they said that the legislator could from time to time make changes on the old law, you know, and abrogate those things that did not conform to the new Constitution. And that's what Prudente and her lawyers used to say, that the legislator could change the common law at will. So, you know, you have to understand that this is the way they're talking and how they're twisting the truth. And, you know, once you understand the basis, then you understand why we're going where we're going. And, we're, you know, they've basically led us down this rabbit hole. We're just reacting to what they're saying, and we're using those procedures and tools that are at our hand to combat that. So I just want people to know, and that's good. I didn't realize that you had put them up there. And it's good they're up there, because it's kind of hard having them in the presentment. You have to go through the evidence. You got to pick them out. And they should be up front, because they are kind of the upfront thing that launched this rocket, so to speak. All right,
Do you want to comment any more on this idea of responding to this Broome County?
Well, I think it's very important to respond to Broome County and let them know, you know, that the people are watching them. And I mean, look, if that was such a ridiculous response, the first reaction is it doesn't even deserve a response, but it does deserve a response. This is a public official, a public servant, so to speak, that doesn't read anything, goes through, makes these horrible, horrible conclusions about who we are and what we're doing in common law and how we're irrelevant and all these other adjectives that person used. I don't know if it's a he or she. But not to mention the fact that they didn't even realize that this wasn't a – they thought we were trying to file this thing. They said, I'm not filing this. It had nothing to do with filing. It was for their edification. It was for them to read. So they obviously, this particular person doesn't have, I don't know, maybe a fifth-grade reading comprehension or a third-grade. Because they couldn't
read
that paper.
They haven't got anything that high. They don't have that high
of
education.
Well, I'm just saying that this person took an oath.
A fifth grade education is far superior than our eighth grade education today, if you're going back to the original, you know, criteria of an education, because they completed their education in 8 years. A good rounded education, 8 years, and they accomplished far beyond our college level. And so when you go and look at the reading levels, and they, you know, you'll see they actually grade to the ninth grade, which is the highest level. I think that's probably they consider college, but, you know, beyond the eighth grades. But really the level, if you're reading at an eighth grade level according to that standard, then you're reading at a high level. You know, most people, I learned a long time ago that the newspaper is written for a third grade level. People reading the newspaper are reading a third grade level. And they did that purposely because they wanted to get the message out that they want to get through papers, but they want to keep the people dumb. You know, so they didn't put anything really you know, in a higher level into the newspapers. So anyway, I'd like to read that document real quick. It's only a paragraph or two. Do you want to read it?
I don't have it. Where is it? Did you put it?
Okay, well, let me
read it.
This is their answer, which we didn't ask for an answer. It was, from the Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury to the court clerks, to the Supreme Court judges distributed by the court clerks, to the bailiffs distributed by the court clerks, to the sheriffs, to the county clerks, and to the good people of New York distributed to by the press. And we sent it out to 800 different press, a press release to 800 agencies. And this is the only one that responded in any way was Broome County. Oh, no, actually, there's a second one. I didn't get the second one yet. Kathleen said that there was a second one. And this is what they said. This document is unintelligible, immaterial, irrelevant, improper. They must have got out the dictionary for this. Inconsequential, misleading, confusing, rambling, repetitious, speculative, extraneous, and outside the jurisdiction of this office. Furthermore, there has been a major failing to lay a proper foundation for the filing of the document in this office. This document is a true example of early American gibberish coupled with malarkey and hokum, and as such is rejected for filing. We didn't even ask to file.
That's pretty
bad. I mean, that is
pretty bad.
Early American gibberish. Now you know what they think about our founding fathers. These are the people we're paying money to be our servants. These people have to leave their office. So either that or they can bone up. They want to do the right thing and bone up. You have to be humble. Let's give it to them. But if they don't, then we get rid of them.
This is Kathleen Zabota? Who is this person that it was not signed?
No, it was unsigned. They gave no name. I didn't see it. Yeah, that's it. That's the whole... wait a second. No. That's unsigned.
No, that came into Kathleen, right?
Right.
It says
Kathleen,
Broome County Clerk.
Was.
So this is their fax number up here, 607-778, right?
Right.
Well, do some people, you need to do some research. You can refax your answers to this fax number.
All the way on the top.
Yeah, 607. Where it says
12-2-14-12-20.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 2243, right on the very top. Broome County Clerk, right on the very top of the page.
And you can go on Google. You can Google the Broome County Clerk, probably get the phone number and the address.
So I think as many people as hear this, they should get all kinds of paper. Right. I think as many people as hear this, what we're talking about, should download this and send a little letter or call them up, hit the phones or something, whatever you want to do. But I think it should be responded to from all over the country and all over New York. Come on, New Yorkers, let's do it. Okay, let's go to the next call. We're going to go to 719-684. You should be hearing. You've been unmuted.
Yes, good evening.
How you doing? First name.
I didn't get the, it's Bear.
What's your first name?
Bear, B-E-A-R.
Okay, what state?
What's this, Colorado.
Okay.
So it's nationalsomething.org?
NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
Alliance.
Right.
Well, 20 years ago when I started in on this thing, we did grand juries. Common law grand juries, and and where are you going to get enforcement?
Procedure
and
process.
Because it didn't work for us 20 years ago.
Procedure and process.
No, but where?
Without blowing any horns or anything, it's just a matter of fact, we've been, by the blessings of God, uniquely educated for this process before we found it. We had been studying the courts and arguing in the courts. We know the procedures of the courts. And what happened, like in California, a lot of grand juries came up, some in Florida and a few other places. But when they filed their papers, the first thing they did is they filed it in the wrong place. They filed it with the prosecutor. And he tossed it right into the can. Even if they filed it with the judge, they tossed it right in the can. Well, you file it with the county, with the court clerk. And then there is U.S. codes and state codes that prevent them from removing that from the process. And if they do,
okay.
it's anywhere from 1 to 20 years in prison. And then,
okay.
you know, sheriffs understand that.
Have you completed the process in any case?
No.
Okay.
No. You have to go through
we're in
the very beginning. We're in the
okay.
process. We're getting ready for arrest.
Is, okay, the next question is, you said on this program that you were able to invoke common law court.
Right.
How?
Correct. Well,
how?
I'll tell you what. If you're interested, you can give me a call. We're not going to get too much into that over the air. We have. We did last week. I'll listen to last week's call, and the week before, I think we touched on it also. But
you
it's really just muddling
that,
the
on
judge.
That website?
Huh?
You're archived on the website?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're archived on the website.
The basic thing
is to understand that your court is being hijacked and to challenge that hijacking and make
well,
it clear.
I've been at this
if
for 20
judge,
years.
I understand
and
that.
I've been in and out of court over 300 times.
I understand that.
Okay,
my,
and the
my
thing
point
is, I can't,
is
get, I can't see anybody who's been able to do it three times in a row.
Okay.
With three different
right.
judges.
Well, I'll try one more time. Okay. When you go into the courtroom, the key thing is to get the judge to tell you what jurisdiction he's ruling from. Clearly, look at if you've been called in for one of their silly meetings, you know it's a Nisi Prius court. Okay, Nisi
right.
Prius court is not a common law court. And
right.
and you need to get the judge to tell you, am I in? And look at, you say to the judge, look at my papers right here. Okay? I said, I'm one of the people of New York and in this court of record suing. And I look, all these people over here, they didn't challenge the jurisdiction, court of record. Now, they seem to think the court of record is something that keeps a record, okay? But then you say, well, look, the second page defines a court of record. It proceeds according to the common law. So, Your Honor,
yeah, I've done all
what
that.
Jurisdiction are we in?
Yeah, I've done all that. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but
well,
have you had three cases that did work?
Right.
Have you had
next,
three cases
next,
that do work?
We've fought pretty much in town courts, city courts. We've won. We won a federal court. We're in the Supreme Court winning with this strategy right now. We've got two Supreme Court cases going. And the other Supreme Court cases, we didn't have this procedure, but the cases are still open. They're big cases. One's a gun case, and the other one is a lawsuit against. Look at it. You want me to
finish talking? Have you been in contact with Rod Class?
No.
Or Rob Ryder?
We've spoken to Rod Class in the past. Well,
we know Rod Class. We know his stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, and I've been in contact with him myself.
We get along. We just have different strategies.
Yep.
He goes his way.
Then,
we go our way. We don't. Ed.
Good. Well, it's just I've been like I said this common law thing is interests me greatly, and what I found out is that because we've been in martial law since 1861, there is no law.
Yeah, the problem. Yeah, I understand that philosophy and conclusion. The problem is I was giving you the answer, but you didn't let me finish. Two times you cut me off. If you want to hear the answer, listen to last week's, because unfortunately I repeated it too in-depthly. Because this kind of thing on the air is the kind of stuff that will come out to assault you on. And that's not what we're about. We want to build up common law grand juries. Now, if you have a situation and you bone up on this stuff and you look at some of the stuff we're doing and you can call me during the week and I answer my phone and we can talk and I can give you some thoughts if you want to hear. And I'm open to hear, too. You know, if you come up with some new stuff, I'll be all ears. My voice will go off and I'll be listening.
Well, I just put out a year's worth of programming on TalkShoe, and I've given out dozens of documents, and I've gotten to the point where because I cannot find anybody that can identify remedy and how and where do you take a claim?
We did.
Well,
numerous
where do you
times.
Take
we
a
did.
Claim to get a claim adjudicated and paid?
I'll put it very simply. You got to put the flush of the judge on the line in the courtroom. And if you don't do that, you're not going to get remedy.
Well,
we won a federal court in 30 days against the IRS, 30 days. They sent us an apology letter. They sent us a release of lien of $127,000 in less than 2 weeks after that. After we got in court. They removed the lien, everything.
So
because
how,
put the
how
flesh
did you overcome,
the judge. Again, I'm not going to get, if you go listen to the last week, and then I think that we talked about the federal court 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Listen to the last three, and in those three, you'll probably pick up both of them, because I don't want to, again, I don't want this to become a conversation on how to win court cases. Although I'd love to do that, and I get suckered into that often because I enjoy telling people how they can do it, but it's not what we're about. But you go listen to those, and if you have questions, you can call me personally.
Are your documents 6560. Wow, sorry. Go ahead. What was that number again?
845-233-6565. I'll do one more time. 845.
Okay.
233-6560. Now, people have been very polite not to abuse that phone number, so, you know, we're going after more and more people. Unless you have a really serious thing that you want to talk to me about, I can't spend my time on advising people too much, but I do what I can, and, you know.
Well, you know, like I said,
I try to make myself available. So.
Yeah. Have you done notices of appearance?
No. Oh, yeah. In other words, we're there by special appearance. When we go to court, we come to the court under special appearance, and we speak through our own court. We open up a court of record in that court. It doesn't matter. The court of record, you can open anywhere you want. If they claim to be a court, we open our court right on top of their court, and we shut down their case.
Okay. Are you familiar with Bill Thornton's case or Bill Thornton's process?
We started off with Bill Thornton's process. We went beyond that, though.
He's talking about Rod Glasser's just came out with the notice of appearances, what the attorney has to do when he's going to be in a court. He has to send a notice of appearance, and Rod Glasser started to fill them out because he says that they don't really have to listen to you unless you file a notice of appearance. And the way we're running our case, we are actually filing a notice of appearance because it's our court and we are the tribunal. You know, we are the judge is just a magistrate, and it doesn't matter whether he understands that or not. The fact is that you proclaim it. It's actually better than a notice of appearance because it's our court. When they understand it is when they violate you and you have to give them a writ of error, and then you put their flesh on the line and you add them to the case and you sue them. It never goes more than three judges before they get rid of that case. They either pay or they settle it or they get it out of there. They don't want it, believe me, because they are liable. When they move ahead and they haven't proved jurisdiction, they're liable. So when we come in, we are actually doing, Rod Glass is doing notice of appearance like the attorneys do, and he makes sure he files those. But if you read the way John has set the cases up, that's exactly what we're doing, and we're the sovereign of the court. You know, we are the tribunal, and they don't get that in the beginning. It's up to us to educate the judge, and unfortunately, the lower judges, they don't get it, but the upper judges know exactly what you're talking about when you get there.
Okay, I'll go back and look at your stuff, and then I'll come back
next week, and we could talk. Well, you know, this conversation is better personal. We need not do it over the air, because then we get more attacks from the status quo, and we don't need that. So you got my
number,
it's
not germane to what we're trying to accomplish, and we certainly don't want to be talking about the IRS on the air because they get very testy when you do that, and before you know it, everybody will be in audited.
I'm just looking for remedy. So
yeah, and it's out there. It's out there. You just have to learn how to do it, and they're very stealthy, and believe me, they will suck you into their jurisdiction. Six ways to Sunday if you're not careful. And, I mean, we can't talk about that right now. They send every turn and step of the way. Between them and the judges, they got a million ways to try to suck you into jurisdiction when they understand that you haven't been sucked in yet.
Okay. Is this also for offense claims instead of just defensive
Look it. There's only one way to run a court, and we're going to
– Okay.
There's only one way to run a court. When you go look at this, if you have questions after that, we'll give it straight out. Look, it's all about jurisdiction and consent. They have neither.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
And you always want to be the plaintiff. That's another story.
Right. 860-689. You should be hearing. You've been unmuted. You got the mic. 689. 860-689.
They fell asleep.
You got the mic, 860. Yeah. All right, we'll try to remember to come back to them. Let me go to the next one. 704-215. You got the mic, 704.
Hi, hold on one second.
Hey, John, this is Bob in Gaston County down in the beautiful country of North Carolina. I just called to tell
you,
I'm doing great. I just called to tell you that this past Saturday, we constituted Gaston County. We had some problems weather-wise. Thursday, North Carolina looked like New York usually does this time of the year. We had eight inches of snow, but we decided we were going to do it anyway, and we went up to the library, and we had a good turnout. Not everybody we'd hope would be there, but just a lot of people couldn't get out, and we got our county constituted.
All right. Well, again, you know, I know I make the mistake saying that often, constituting the county, but what we're really doing is constituting the process of the common law grand jury in the county, and we want to do that in every single county in order to have the whole process, and then we can create a unified grand jury and work in power and strength. But, of course, the key thing in working in power and strength is to get a seat in the court. Just one county, that's all we need, a seat in one county, and we win, we'll take the whole state.
Okay, I have a question. We have 100 counties, and we've got three grand juries constituted here, and I was kind of wanting to find out exactly how y'all were doing with multiple counties. Can you explain that to me?
We've been doing good.
Counties?
What we've been doing is we take a particular area, and we would find a county that's convenient around a bunch of other counties. And we'd do a couple of them every Saturday, and so we'd be able to get a lot of them constituted on one Saturday. And we did one in the morning at 10 a.m., and then the second one in the afternoon at 2 p.m. If you have to travel further, you can make it at 3 p.m. or whatever. We do is we notify all of the newspapers within that county. We put out the newspapers ads, not the ads, but the notification, press release. So we hit every whatever newspapers we can find in every one of those counties. We work the phones for a whole week, calling everyone on our lists. We have quite a few lists here in New York, not just the National Liberty Alliance, but we have lists from other people that we've been doing things with over the years. And we encourage them to come out. We also ask them to invite people that they know, their neighbors or people in the other counties that were trying to constitute at that time. And we do the best we can to get as many people as we can in that one place. Then we put the we let them know in the beginning. I usually talk for a few minutes. Unfortunately, maybe more than a few minutes, but I talk in the beginning a little bit. And I make the point that we are here to present to the people the common law grand jury. And at the end of it, we're looking to take a vote by the showing of the hands for the approval of the people, and we're going to be doing it in whatever counties. I list out the number of the names of the counties, and then we show the three videos. For anyone who hasn't done this yet, they're about 9 or 10 minutes apiece. It's less than 30 minutes, and then we come on, and I directly go right to the vote. Okay, everybody here that is in favor to reconstitute common law grand juries within these counties I mentioned earlier, give a showing of the hands. And it's always unanimous so far. You know, we've only had one time it wasn't unanimous. Some person just couldn't make their mind up. I mean, it was pretty sad, but I don't think they were an infiltrator. But anyway, we then always offer the opposed. You know, did we miss anybody? Is there anybody that opposes it? Nobody opposes it. That's passed by, majority desire. And we just fill out the papers. We usually have a notary with us. We always travel with a notary, and then we get all the papers notarized right there and then. We answer questions after that and talk to people, and in the last place, we usually end up having dinner with some of the people, and we do the same thing the next weekend. We're going on our third weekend now this Saturday, and we're heading towards the central part of New York, which we're going to constitute there. And then we've got one county left down in New York City, Richmond County. We'll go down there probably during the week, one evening, and we're done. Now we're going to go out in March. We're going to do Connecticut and, as I mentioned, other states. We're going to work with all the states around us. We need the power of the states, the New England states, with us. Pennsylvania and Jersey's coming well along on their own, and we'll go out to Pennsylvania soon and help them if it's necessary after we work with New England.
Okay, I have one more question. When you're constituting the grand jury in a county, do you have to have your seal then, or can you just seal your paperwork later?
Yeah, you can seal the paperwork later. You get all the signatures necessary. You get the affidavits. When you get the seal, look at, we're telling people now to not really seal it, leave it or unseal the original. Then make, we're only doing one copy in New York now. We're not doing three originals, just one original. And then we take the originals. They need to feed them into their computer and get it through and make PDFs out of them. And then it's in your computer. And you take the original and you put it in plastic and you put it in a file cabinet and you keep it. You don't need to put a seal on that. But when you run it off of the computer, it makes a nice copy. As long as you've made a good scan in, it makes a nice copy. You just run it off. And you seal the pages necessary to seal, and you send it to the people that need to get it. One to the copy goes to the county clerk, and the other one goes to the county, the chief court clerk. And remember, they're only a it's only a memorial of what we've done. We do a file on demand with it. The clerk, the county clerks aren't too bright. They actually send it back, even though we told them it's 2 years in prison or whatever it is, a year in prison. Plus 20 years for using the mail for fraud. So there's 21 years for that person. We're not going to go after him for that. But what's interesting is none of the courts ever sent them. Only one court, Schenectady County, sent it back. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts they wish they never done that. We're going to go out and talk to Schenectady soon, and that may be a leverage for us, the fact that they sent it back to us.
Okay, let me ask you one more question, and I'll turn it over to the next caller. How many people do you actually need in a county? Do you just need one, or do you need three from that county?
To constitute, you only need one. And remember, constituting and filing are two different things. You can constitute it and not file. You can wait a month to file. But the thing is when the counties, you work with the other counties helping them. And when the other counties around, you get together, you need to get to know these people. And when you come together as a group and all of a sudden you got 10 counties, 20 counties, 15 counties. We did it 18. We had, no, 15. We had 15 counties when we constituted, when we filed them, okay? So at that point, we filed it at 15 counties. Now we've got 49 counties, okay? And we're telling people, go file them. And we have some counties that don't have leadership yet. So we'll wait to get that leadership, and we'll pass it off to them, and they'll file it when they can. You know, you have to figure out when you're ready to file it. That's a strategic move you guys have to figure out.
Okay, so we've got 3 out of 100, so we probably need to wait till we get a few more before we dump this all on up.
Yeah, we suggest 15 or more, no, 5 to 15. Look at 100 counties. I would say give 15 or 20 before you file.
Okay.
But move the state along. Move the state along. You know, and you may feel that you need more before you file. That's a decision you guys got to figure out. You know, this is the decision that we made with 15. So.
Okay, I appreciate all y'all doing up there, and we're trying to follow your lead and get this going down here. We want to get the train really rolling down the track, and just take care and be safe, okay?
Keep an eye on Florida also.
Okay,
Florida's doing a little different than us, okay? But they're doing the right thing.
Okay, my wife
wants
to ask you one question.
Sure. All right.
My wife wants to ask you one question.
Yeah.
Hey, John. Thank you so much for writing me back. You are an inspiration for all of us out here. My question is, because I know that up in the mountain area, that one of the guys is planning on having a meeting, and we were wanting to hit the surrounding areas and see if we can't what do you say, constitute the grand jury and
right,
the common law grand jury.
The common law
and
grand
the
jury
other counties. But I don't know people in all the different counties. So if we do the invitation and stuff, can we not get the paperwork done and go ahead and do all of these in this area and hold on to the paperwork until someone steps forward? Is that
sure,
what we do?
Sure, you can do that. We've got counties where we're holding the paperwork. We've got counties where other counties are very active close by, and they're holding the paperwork for the counties close by them because they're, you know, that's their sister counties. We're on the other side of the state. But if we can't get someone to hold them, then we'll hold them. And as soon as we start to see a leadership arise in that county, then we'll approach them to see if they want to, what kind of a leadership role they want to take. And people may do it, just take control to hold it for a while, intending at some point to pass it on to someone, that someone else, that's fine. You know, maybe some people just don't want to be an administrator, but they just want to work with us and get in the jury pool and do what they can to do their duty to save the republic. You know, so we do have people who are just holding it also. They're active and they're working, but they're not going to be the administrators. That's fine.
That's great. Okay, well, that answers that because it gives me inspiration for something that we're trying to coordinate because we're trying to go at it like y'all do, you know, and try to get as many counties together to do like a big, you know, you know, potluck dinner type of thing, you know, get them all together and get them all within the same, you know, areas. That way it's a lot better.
This is where the state coordinator's job comes in. And again, some state coordinators have fallen asleep. Please wake up, state coordinators, if you've fallen asleep. Okay? They took on the state coordinator for a purpose. The purpose was to find the counties that have no leadership, find liberty groups within those counties, make some phone calls, send some emails, visit them, whatever you got to do. Find people and introduce them to National Liberty Alliance front page. Just read the front page, watch the video. Look it. When you get someone that's agreeing to that, annoy the hell out of them. They told you you can annoy them because they agreed they would do it. So you ask them, okay, look, I'll give you a call, you know, take a look at the page, you know, I'll give you a call maybe tomorrow. When you call tomorrow and, I forgot all about it, you know, I really apologize. Okay, no problem, but you think you'll be able to get it tonight or tomorrow? Yeah, I could probably do it tomorrow evening. Okay, I'll give you a call the next day. All right, the next day comes and maybe they still haven't done it. Let me tell you, it's the nature of people. At this point, they really feel bad that they let you down because you're calling them. You're following up, okay? By the time you get to the third time around, some people the second, some people the first, who knows, you know, you'll get them to do it. Once they do it, usually they're excited by what they see. If they're an involved person in a liberty group, they're excited by what they see, and then you get them involved. Now, it's the same thing when you're going to go out. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing when you go out to the other, when you're going to get to the other counties. You need to be getting leaders in each county. Those leaders need to be getting the words to other people in their surrounding counties and other people in their counties. Share it with their own liberty groups, okay?
Yes,
and
right.
So you start to develop the state. Now, then you call the county leaders up. The state leaders should be calling the county leaders up and pushing them to get an election. Hey, what's stopping you from getting an election next week on Tuesday? You know, if you need help, I'll help you call a library or something. And get them going. Get them moving. Follow up the next
Absolutely.
Day. Hey, did you make that call? Did you schedule? I want to get it up on the schedule. Oh, I forgot. Look, believe me, at some point, people will start to get it. You know, people have to develop this new habit of action because people are not used to action. So that's what you got to do. You got to help them along. Let them commit. Now, when you're going to go do the common law grand jury, when you're going to call, when you're going to post it, don't post an email, think people are coming. No, you get on your list, you get on the phones. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Hey, Mary, how you doing? You know, we're doing that common law grand jury. We're getting them together in your county. We're going to be meeting over at the other thing. It's really important that you get there. Can you make it on Saturday at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 10 o'clock? Can you do it? Yeah, I think I could do it. Okay, look, at Mary or Joe, I'm really counting on you. This is important to me, and I know it's important to you. Look, it's sort of a salesman job. But you got to do it.
Right.
You got to. People
Absolutely.
Need to be pushed. Let me tell
Absolutely.
You, we got the first our first 18 counties We literally pushed every single person into this. They had their toes in the water. We walked right behind them and pushed them in the water. They came right in. And it worked all the way down.
Well, see, that's what I admire what y'all doing up there. And what we're trying to do is trying to follow suit. You know, like if someone is doing something that works, then it would be silly to try to do something that, you know, is different. So we see that what you're doing, and we really, truly admire it. And so we said, there's no reason why we just got three in North Carolina. We've got 100, and that's a lot of good to go. Uh-huh. So we're getting ready to set fire to the mountains. We're going up there, and we're going to start meeting people. And we're just going, there's a lot of counties up there, and we know some people. We know some people in different counties, and we're going to start visiting. We're going to person face-to-face see them and get them motivated and get them involved. And then we'll start, there is a guy up there who's planning on having an election. And what we're going to try to do is just coordinate it where all these counties around in the surrounding area can do it all at the same time. We'll come up and help them and make it happen.
There you go.
So,
that's the way to do it. And let me tell you, we did here in New York is we had one, two, three, we had three state leaders plus myself, four, and we got on the phones for a whole week. We blasted emails out, and we called everyone up, you know. And
good.
When I get them on the phone, I get them to commit, you know, because I want them to commit. And they commit, and I say, I'm counting on you, you know. That's how you got to get the people out. You got to push them.
That's it. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'll let you get for others, but you do know that we do appreciate you so very much.
Well, I appreciate everyone that's involved in this. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Next caller, 760-447. You should be hearing. You're unmuted.
Hi, John. This is Joe Kelly in California.
How you doing, Joe? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing good. I don't know if you really want to hear from me. I think I'm being fired by Carla here in California.
Okay.
She called me today, and she wasn't very happy with me. And I have to admit, based on what I just heard you saying, I'm not the type that's a salesman. I call it pushing on a string.
Well, Carla wasn't firing you. I spoke to her about you, and I speak to other people about other people just for the sole purpose. They're not doing nothing. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. And I tell everybody, look, you know, everybody has something to do. If people, you know, some people can talk. Some people can do the phones. Some people can do the emails. Some people are good at other things. But nevertheless, if we're all working together, but you have to connect. You got to communicate. So you and Carla just need to communicate and figure out what you're best at and do it. Look, we have three three state coordinators here in New York, okay? And, you know, one here or there, you know, may not be so reliable in doing everything that has to be done, but they're helping. But we have the other ones that are active. It is what it is. So... but we definitely don't want people who have a phone number up there and they don't get answered. We do have someone that has a phone number up there and a county coordinator, and I haven't fixed it yet, and I forget, it may have been Tennessee, I forget, but they have no phone number on their thing. But why are they listed as a county coordinator if they don't have a phone number? And if they're afraid to put their phone number, then just be a member and help out as best you can as one without giving people your phone number. But the phone number needs to be there so people can call you and get activated, you know. Same thing with the state coordinator. You know, just answer the phones, talk to people, communicate. I think Carla was talking about it because she couldn't get in touch with you. And we thought that you maybe just went down. I didn't realize it was you. You know, I remember you, Joe, and I know you're involved and very knowledgeable. But in any event, you know, I told Carla to keep calling, leave a message, tell her it's important that you guys speak. So talk with her. She can't fire you. You can't fire her. Well, ultimately, you know, if the whole county decided to get rid of you, of course they could. That's the people, you know. If they wanted someone else, at some point, the state coordinator is going to be chosen by the counties. There's only going to be one, and we may change their position. Coordinator may be good for the state level, but only one coordinator per state. And if there's a state coordinator that's really active in doing their job, the counties would be ridiculous to get rid of that person. You want the person who's the most active person who's really doing their job. And at some point, there's only going to be one in every state. And those people will have authority on the website, as they do now in the state area. They'll have more, though. We're going to, when we get some more money, we're going to broaden up to more in this website. And we're going to be getting a new chat room, because the chat room we have isn't sufficient for our needs. Although it's working well, but there are things we want to do there we can't do in that chat room. So when we get the money, we're going to build our own chat room. And we're going to make it where the recording starts. We'll do it ourselves, where the recording will start automatically at 9 o'clock every Monday. It'll just start in the room. You won't have to push a button. But that's going to cost money. And when we get our next big chunk of money, the extra money, we're going to do it. You there, Joe?
Okay, John. John, in my defense, all I can say is that I think I'm good at ideas and writing, and I think you recognize that. Because I
wrote do. Talk to Carl. You're absolutely right. I think you are great with ideas and writing. There's no doubt about it. You've corrected me already.
Okay, so I just want to add, and then you can move on. Last caller who had a challenge to authority, what I wrote down while I heard that was, if the facts are before honest people, there are few remaining controversies because the factor of willful deception is not a factor.
That's right.
And that's it for me. Thanks, John.
Hi, Joe. I appreciate it. And don't get no hard feelings. I didn't realize it was you. I knew it was Joe, and I said, hey, let's do this, that, the other thing. But just talk with Carla, work it out, and let's do what we got to do. We all need to be humble, really. I'm a pushy guy, but I think I have to be. So, all right,
okay,
Joe,
one more.
I'll talk to you later.
Wait,
yeah, go ahead.
Wait, one more thing is, Carla says that Los Angeles is the first county to constitute a National Liberty Alliance common law grand jury in that county. So if that can be put on the webpage, that would be great.
All right, Carla needs to do it, or you need to do it. You have controls. If you go up to the top of the page and put your cursor on the states, because you're a state coordinator. And if you come, you'll see all the way down the bottom, you'll see a page that says instructions. Only the state coordinator sees that. And if you click on instructions, it tells you how to go put a checkbox in your county, and it'll register on the page. Okay?
Okay, there's where the controversy can be accurately identified, because my conversations with anybody that calls me has to do with authority, and Carla supposedly has a recording of my last conversation with her. So The concept of doing things according to a well-established process that works over time, it's something I don't know because I wasn't there because for whatever reason, you know, I might have been just off on vacation or something, but I wasn't there. So I can't get on there and say, yes, Los Angeles County was constituted according to the well.
Okay, well, Carla is the state coordinator, too. She can get up and do it. And let me just make a correction here. Nobody is constituting National Liberty Alliance common law grand juries. No, this has nothing. NationalLibertyAlliance.org is just a place to learn and to organize and to communicate through. We're a platform for the people to get together, communicate, and work together. And this is going to grow in ways that you haven't even dreamed. We got so many plans on what we're going to do with this website to really feed the people of all of the United States. But we don't tell people what to do, and we're just giving you the process. So it's your grand jury, it's the people's grand jury in your county that you're going to, and it's the 25 people in that room in that county, they got to figure out their problems or whatever it is they're discussing to try to figure out. And the trial juries in your county have the same problem and situation. They got to get together and figure out how they're going to make what decisions they're going to make. And so it has nothing to do with National Liberty Alliance. We're just people giving you the tools And I'm busy in my county, in my state, just as you're busy in your county, in your state. And your state affects my state. All the states affect each other, just like my county affects the next door county. So we all need to get the people out and doing their things. This is a true grassroots organization. And if anybody ever thinks it's anything less than that, they need to bring it up these Monday night calls and show us where we're making the error, and we will fix it.
Okay, John, for San Bernardino County, I haven't constituted one yet, and I have plans on doing that. But in my opinion, I'm already a common law grand jurist. I've been to jury duty.
Right.
I've done this and I've done that. I'm fully capable of deciding a case. And according to well-established rules, it only takes one person to acquit, and it takes 12 in agreement to, at least 12 in agreement to actually punish somebody. So I'm all good for all of that. All I'm saying is I really would appreciate, for my efforts and my writing, which is what I do, and it's my specialty, at least according to me, is to have the first California state or constitutional republic constituting a common law grand jury on the National Liberty Alliance webpage put there. And I can't
recording,
do it, and that's all I'm telling you. I can't
do it.
I don't know what happened.
Carla will do it. I'll talk with Carla.
Right.
She'll do it. Okay, she'll take care of it.
Okay, thanks, John.
All right, I appreciate that. Okay, let's go to the next caller here. Hold on a second. Okay, 903-519. You should be hearing that your mic has been unmuted. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'll
By the way, we
chat,
don't have that many callers tonight. If anybody, we've got quite a few callers in the call box here, but we don't have that many people with their hands up. So if they want to talk, I don't know what buttons they tell you to push. Maybe someone can tell us to raise your hand. Do you recall what button you were told to push to raise your hand? 519?
Number one.
So press what? Just press one or pound one?
Just one.
Just one. Okay, so if you press one, your hand will go up. I saw someone just came up. What's your name and what state you from?
This is a man named Kenneth from Texas. I've been in your chat room. A lot of your people are suffering from misinformation about the common law process. They haven't done their homework. They're not up to speed. I realize there's not a ton of information out there, but it's something is bordering on being insane.
Right. We're on the job training with most of the people. A lot of people are coming in from the Liberty groups. They've gone through the gambit. They learned that the politics don't work. They see what we're doing. They haven't had any, some people haven't had any experience in the courts at all. Some people have been in the courts but have no knowledge of common law or the fiction. Some have fiction knowledge and no common law, so it's really a mixed bag. So, yeah, we get a lot of ignorance, and we do, and it's not a bad thing. The ignorance means that you don't know something about something, that's all. You can get rid of ignorance by reading and studying. But we do speak often about the poison out there. There's a lot of poison. And so we work very hard to keep the poison off our site. A little bit may creep in here or there, and if we find it, we squash it, get rid of it. But we have studied very diligently to get ourselves to the place we're at in understanding the procedure, the process, and how to take control through the common law. And we're executing it. It's been going beautifully, in my opinion, according to plan. We would have hoped by now they would have broke, but we're not naive to think that they would break this quick. But believe me, the pressure has only just begun. They haven't seen the pressure yet. Here in New York,
sure. You're talking about trillions and quadrillions of dollars, so, you know, that does have a little bit of pull on people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the one thing I could suggest to everybody is just throw off the yoke of the administration, because you won't find common law there. It's underneath that, on the land, in the organic part of the Americas.
Right.
And
you
everything
know, in order
that was
to have
in
liberty,
your administration doesn't really apply to common law.
Liberty starts as a state of mind. That's where it starts. You take it, you want it, and you take it. It's that simple. Everyone has it available to themselves. They just have to step up on it. It can be frightening sometimes, depending on where you're at and who you're dealing with. I mean, trying to take liberty in Nazi Germany would be a heck of a lot harder than taking liberty here in the States right now, although taking liberty in the States is a problem, too. And before you start exercising and executing your liberty in the courtrooms, which is your right to do so, and to fight these people when they come out after you, you need to be studying now. If you haven't gone to a courtroom yet, you better be studying now because your day's coming. And at some point, you'll need to go into a courtroom. And you need to be able to know how to handle yourself. You need to know who you are, what jurisdiction you're in, and what jurisdiction this court is in. And you need to always bring it back to your jurisdiction. And you need to know how to do it. And you need to be able, at least now, later on, once we take control, we won't have to worry too much about this. But right now, you go into courtrooms, you better know how to intimidate the judge. If you can't intimidate the judge, you're going to lose. And so you have to get rid of that fear right off the bat. You be respectful, and you got to realize how far you can push before he's going to try to put you in jail for contempt, because he thinks he could do that. But it's hard to fight when you're in jail for contempt and you can't get access to any kind of law materials. And they'd send you to the psychiatric ward and rule you as incompetent and stick a lawyer on you, and you're screaming and yelling. And you better know how to deal with all that before you get into it. And a good place to start is with a traffic ticket. You know, once you get it, go test it out, because they're not going to throw you in jail for arguing a traffic ticket. So, you know, you get it for speeding or something, you know. But anyway.
Well, I always try to bring a solution to any problem that I bring to someone else, and part of the solution is resources. And I don't know if you have the resource listed or not, but Trust in All Law on YouTube has a ton of Carl Lentz's common law videos. I think there's up to 220 different videos broken down
into small... Carl who? Carl who?
Carl Lentz.
Okay. I don't know Carl Lentz, so I don't know if he's got poison or not. I don't know if he's got poison in him. But all the people that we do believe in, we do have up. But I'll take a look at Carl Lentz. How do you spell it?
K-A-R-L-L-E-N-T-Z. And
okay, I'll take a look at that.
A website called Uncommon Law.
Okay. All right, I'll take a look at that and see once if I believe he's got it on the mark. And we're not, you know, we'll put him up on our pages. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, appreciate the call.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. 732-455. 732-455, you've got the mic. And just to let you know,
Hello?
We only have one other caller left after that, so anybody who wants to call, press that one button. Hello, give us your
Hello?
First name and your state.
Gina, New Jersey, Mama's
County.
How
you doing, Gina? How you
all
doing?
All right. Okay, I'm moving along. I just wanted to, first of all, I want to say I appreciate your wisdom and guidance. And I wanted to ask you, once we had the meeting for the constituting of a grand jury here, common law grand jury here in Monmouth County, I wanted to get, you know, start getting the cards and the flyers and stuff, because it's much easier, you know,
right,
when you're out in the public or whatever to hand give things out. But I had reached out to some people in Bergen County, and one lady, she signed up and registered, but she said when she went on for where, you know, the different states, for New Jersey, I wasn't listed as a administrator, and I didn't want to get the card done, you know, because that would make people say, well, she's saying she's one of the administrators, but, the, you know, so my card that I'm going to order, they need to reflect that, and plus when they go on the site, you know, because it gives people more incentive, you know.
Okay, what's your first name again, and what county?
Gina, G-I-N-A, Monmouth County.
Monmouth County, okay, Monmouth. Yeah, you're right. I don't see you here. You might not have checked the box when you joined. In order to turn yourself over to a county organizer, and eventually, you know, all the county organizers are potential administrators for their counties. They just have to step up and take the authority. But you got to be honest and true to yourself and the people. That means you're going to start studying, and you're going to study hard. Anybody can do this. Anybody can learn this. Just don't worry about remembering anything. Just get into the studies. Try to understand what you're looking at. And if you understand what you're looking at and what you're studying, you won't forget it. That's the key to all knowledge, in my opinion. That's what worked with me when I discovered it. But all you have to do in order to turn that box is up on the top side, up along the top row, right under the top links, you know, the tabs, you'll see My Account. Okay? It's Tech Support, My Account, Add Event. Click on My Account. Okay? When My Account opens up, you have the opportunity to edit your account. So you click on Edit. Okay? Now that you're in that area, if you need to fix anything on that page, you can fix it. Okay? But on the top right side, right under the four tabs, you'll see two buttons. One says Account, and the other one says Contact Information. Click on Contact Information. And as you scroll down that page, you will see a little box that says County Organizer. If you put a checkbox, just click on that box. You put a checkmark in that box by clicking on it. And then you go down to the bottom of the page and you save. And when you save that, you can then go to the counties again and you'll look. Your name will appear there. So that's how you can do it. Anybody that wants to change themselves to make them a county coordinator, anybody who wants to remove themselves from their number being up on a county coordinator, whatever you got to do, whatever you want to do, that availability is there. If you change an address or something, you can change your information in here that's necessary.
Okay? Yeah, because when she called me, she was kind of like, well, I thought you said you was, you know, I didn't know what to say, so I said, let me see how I can fix that.
Yeah, just get up there and fix it. And by the way, just so people know, can you hear me? Okay. By the way, just so people know, under services, we have a very good deal on business cards. And so you can get business cards that as administrator for the common law grand juries, or you can get business cards for, or both of them, National Liberty Alliance, okay? And we have a couple of pictures here, and I'm just looking at them. It looks like the pictures aren't up, so I'll have to get here and fix this. I'll try to do that tomorrow. There should have been two cards. I don't know why they're not showing up, but I'll fix that. And you can order these cards. They're a very good price, and the price you see includes whatever taxes and delivery, okay? So if you're paying for 500 cards, two-sided card, it's for $56.99. That's it, nothing more. That includes everything. So if you really go to Staples to get a two-sided card, 500 cards, it'd pretty much be that price. The advantage from doing it from us is that we get a few dollars thrown towards the website for buying the cards here. And I'm working out a deal with T-shirts right now, and we'll be offering only one T-shirt, and it's going to look pretty much like the website layout, a little different, but pretty close. It's going to be the same color. You'll get to choose sizes, but you know, we want to keep the uniform, you know, it uniform with the website. So the T-shirt will have the same color and same look as the website, and so that's going to be available hopefully this week. We also I am negotiating a price. I got to give them a call. I haven't heard back from these people in a while, but we're working on a price for the jurist handbook. Which we'll get down and beat it down as low as we can get. And we'll be offering them soon, too. Right now, you can download it yourself on the Jurist tab. Click on Jurist Documents, and you'll find a Jurist Handbook there. And you can print it out. If you've got a two-sided printer, you can get a booklet. It'll print out as a booklet form. Just fold it in half and put a stapler in.
Okay. All right, John. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let me see who's left. Okay, next caller, 212, that's New York City, 751. You got the mic.
Yeah, hi, it's Pat Sachs. How are you? I wanted to, I was calling in to remind you, I when you move from the old site to the new site, I'm the Connecticut coordinator, state coordinator, and you drop me, and it's kind of hard for people to, you know, reach out to me if they can't find me, unless they, of course, want to call one of the state, you know, the right. county coordinators.
Are you a coordinator in New York also?
Yes.
Okay. In order to be a coordinator in another state, you want to be a coordinator in both states.
Well, I was just basically trying to, you know, all my dad's family is up there, so, I mean, I've always been
right.
very connected in Connecticut. But I really
right.
just, you know, I apart from the thought that I might be starting a job in Connecticut, so I would actually be moving.
Right.
But it's
well, what you
right
could
now.
Do.
I just wanted
yeah,
to get
you
started.
Could, right. What you can do is you can put, use one of your... you know, your parents or sister or someone, use their address, let them know you're using their address, and then get another email address. The key thing is a different email, and then you can sign up on both states. And I don't really want people to do that unless they really have a good reason to do that, and I appreciate what you're saying. Now, I'll let you know, we're going to Connecticut on the 4th if you
yeah,
want to
be one
for going.
Maybe we can coordinate because we were planning – we have these state meetings every 2 weeks, and we were planning some stuff
right.
over the next week so that we could, you know, get finally, you know, get everything coordinated. The snow is probably lessening up a little bit, and we'll be able to get around the state a little more. But, yeah, if you're going up on the 4th, it's great. If we could just coordinate so, you know, we can get our people together with your people, that would be good.
Yeah, I'll be posting it on the website very shortly. If you want to call me during the week, you know, I would say call me next week because I'm so busy, but the week after that I think is the 4th, so you got to call me.
Okay.
And we'll get into more details. I'm going to call everyone in Connecticut myself that's on the list, and I'm going to ask them if they want to participate in the we're doing a presentation, okay? We're doing it
yeah.
for a Liberty group. And there are two other Liberty groups out there. We're going to try to invite them to this Liberty group also. And we've got 2 hours, so we're going just to a presentation. But then we're going to follow up the following week. We're going to come up to do the election in the center of the state, as I mentioned earlier. And then we'll
okay,
call everyone up, and then we'll get the whole state done at the same time. They got 8 counties.
Okay. I'll add you, we have a Facebook group for the Connecticut group on already, and I'll add you to that group so you can announce
yeah.
whatever
yeah.
you want in the group also, and that'll get the word out.
Well, you and I should talk. I don't get too active on Facebook. I go out there once
okay.
in a while when I see all these things pile up, and I don't even know what I'm doing out there, but it seems to be doing a lot of stuff. But I was told to get a present, so we did. But, you know, let's work together on this, and we'll organize together, we'll call together, we'll get the newspapers out together. You know, if I can count on you, I'll tell you what we need to do with newspapers and how to get in touch with newspapers out there in each county. And I'll find the location and set it up. I'll probably find a library, and or a restaurant or something. And
okay.
And we'll work together and we'll make the phone calls and we'll make it a successful evening. You know, we'll probably do it. I don't know. Maybe we'll do it on a Saturday. What do you think? A Saturday would be best, huh?
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Yeah, we do Saturday at noontime or something. You know.
Yeah, that would be optimal. In fact, I think it would be easier to get people to drive over on a Saturday.
Right, right. Because there's no work traffic. They're not running home from work, and or so
right.
on and so forth. So, and
yeah.
12 o'clock, it lets you sleep a little late. So, okay,
yeah,
let's
okay.
talk.
So,
you got my phone number.
Fine.
Huh?
I think you want. I'm sorry. What? Which phone number?
845.
Yeah.
233. 6560.
Okay.
And
233.
Give me a call.
0.
Say that again.
Okay. 233-6560.
Correct. 845 area code. That's correct.
Okay.
And let's
when should I call you approximately?
I'll tell you what. Maybe call me. Why don't you call me Thursday evening? And if you miss me then, you can call me Friday during the day.
Okay.
And let us talk and make plans, and I'll share the information. I'll get it up on the website, and let's get it going in Connecticut.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Good talking to you. Anything else?
No, but when I talk to you, I know a few people in Vermont that want to be part of this, so I'll get them to...
Well, get them moving along, and we'll do Vermont after Connecticut.
Okay.
I'll go up to Vermont. If you want to go to Vermont with me, we'll go up to Vermont. I'll get a little caravan. I usually try to bring a notary with us, and Gerard usually travels with us, and we got a couple active people, so you know,
all right.
We'll go to Vermont.
Well, let's talk about it. As long as let's get Connecticut organized before we get
Absolutely.
In over our head.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll call you on Thursday. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, now we're going to 407-721. 407-721, you got the mic.
Hello there, John. This is Chris from Florida, and I want to thank you for all you do. Great
job.
How
you doing, Chris?
Very good. Last week I went to the county offices to get the OSA office of all the county commissioners and the attorney. And I was wondering how important that was for what we're trying to do. If I read the one from the attorney, says I in his name, a citizen of the state of Florida County, United States of America, being an employee of Lake County, and recipient of public funds, as such an employee, I do hereby solemnly swear and affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America and the state of Florida. The odd thing about it was that on the notary public stamp was not on it. It's not a certified copy.
There's no oath.
Okay. So here's the one from the state of Florida. This is for the county commissioners. I do solemnly swear, in parentheses or affirm, that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and government of the United States. Excuse me. It says I will defend the Constitution and government of the United States and the state of Florida.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah,
nobody supports the government.
Correct. Yeah. They're making an oath to the government, not to us.
Yeah.
Constitution. So, how
Yeah, they have a new oath going into the service. I heard that they swear to obey and keep the and obey the orders of their superiors and so on and so forth. I've heard that, and if that's true, that's pretty scary.
Now, should I go back and get certified copies? Is it that important? I think, to me, it seems like I should go back and get certified copies.
Yeah, if you got the time, I would put my time in organizing, getting together, learning together if you want to do that, or boning up on your own.
We've been doing that. Hagen and Roger have been doing a fabulous job. So,
What I want to do here in New York is I'm going to go down to New York City with a few people, and we're going to get a copy of every judge in New York State. Their oaths, and we're going to get certified papers telling us that they have no bonds. I've been told that on the phone from, as a matter of fact, Prudente's office. When I call down, they answer my questions. So, go figure. And they told me, I pushed them along that. I said, well, what about the bonds? Well, we don't keep the bonds here. I said, well, where are the bonds? Who keeps the bonds? Where do they get the bonds from? They said, well, they don't really have bonds. I said, what do you mean they don't have bonds? He said, well, no, the controller backs them up. So the people's money backs up, the tax money backs up the judges when they do wrong?
Yeah.
You know,
no.
Of course, I got silence on the phone. Okay,
and,
so,
I think
yeah,
this is what Joaquin,
it's illegal.
I think Joaquin had the same problem in St. John's County. No bonds there either. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, we're going to get that. As a matter of fact, it may be best to do it is when you call to the judge and you have a conversation with him, and when you finish with him, just to put it into him, to let him know who's boss, and to be nice. We're just being curious here, okay?
Absolutely.
We expect you a copy of your oath and your bond. We expect you to deliver that to us within the next, 72 hours or 5 days or something. We'll be reasonable. And actually, they should be able to get it quicker. And we expect to have that. And that's the best way to get their bonds, when you get to put them in front of your, when they come before you to discuss what's going on in the courts and what we're going to be focused on in the courts, which is common law.
Right.
So
I don't know how this is all going to go over with the county commissioners. I think that's the thing we're going to have trouble with.
Yeah, who cares about them? Look, they don't have the authority to do anything. as far as the people's concerned. They're going to get in the way of the people. Who are they?
Well, I think they're getting bad advice from their attorneys. You know, their attorneys are just, you know, I was at, I was up at one last week, and the attorney, you know, just tried to make a laughing stock of the whole thing, you know, and he was a fool, you know.
Well, the attorneys are the minions for the New World Order. They are the problem.
Absolutely, yeah.
If there were no attorneys, people would have to think for themselves, wouldn't they? They don't want to have that.
Exactly right. Can't have that.
No, of course not. So, when these judges talk to us through their attorneys, we don't talk back to the attorneys. You know, they talk through their attorneys, and we'll answer them, letting them know that that's no answer at all. You know?
Correct.
We didn't elect the attorneys. We elected the judges, and the judges have no authority to say anything about the duties of the people. That's our business, ain't your business. Same thing with the commissioners. You know, commissioners are appointed, aren't they?
No,
they,
they're
some
elected.
Of them elected.
They're all elected in Florida. Yeah. So, and the school board, I'm gonna go to the school board too because we have some problems with the Common Core thing. So I'm gonna get their oaths too.
Uh-huh. All right.
Very
Anything
good.
Else?
Thank you very much, John. God bless you. Thank you so much.
All right. Godspeed. Thanks for calling. Okay, let's take the next caller. 760-447, you should be hearing. You've been unmuted.
Hi, John. It's me again, Joe Kelly in California.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Good. And I want to follow up on at least two things. One is I asked you to call somebody who was in Kentucky who had been calling me Rachel, and I had given you her phone number. The problem is that she was trying to get things going, and the state coordinator was not working out for some reason. So I was just wondering if you did call her and what may have happened in Kentucky.
No, I didn't call her. I haven't had the time to call a lot of people I should be calling. But, you know, I have a few phone calls where people ask me to call people, and I was going to do that, and I still have notes and I haven't gotten around to it yet. What did you do, ask me through email?
No, she called me up, and it was two times she called me, and each time, and I actually document the calls or something similar to the calls. I don't record them exactly, but... the thing about Rachel was, to me, in the phone call, she's uniquely qualified to be a common law grand jury coordinator, not necessarily an administrator because she's got court cases pending. And she's in the military.
You can have court cases pending. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can. It's just that she's... she could be an administrator too, rather than nobody being there. But I'm just saying, I think my ability to judge a person.
Well, why don't you tell her to give me a call?
Yeah, I thought she said she would do that, but
yeah, I'll tell you what. If you call my number, okay, you'll get. If you don't get me, you'll get an answering machine. And it will tell you, the first thing it's going to tell you is, you know, don't leave a message because I don't answer any calls. If I had to answer all the calls of all the people that call me in a day, I'd be on the phone all day. I'd never get off the phone. And anybody who calls me will tell you, I take more than one call at a time. Sometimes I'll have 6-7 callers on the line, and we just, it becomes almost like a conference. And some people will hang on just to listen, you know. And I just don't have the time to call people. I've got people I need to call, but I've had other things I have to do, and I just haven't gotten around to it. But if people need to talk to me, just call me. And on the message it says, hey, if you don't get me, try me back in a couple hours. You'll eventually get me. I'm not at the phone all the time, but I'm – like today I answered the phone. I was supposed to do writing, but I kept answering the phone. I never got my writing done. So – tomorrow, I may not answer the phone until after 3. So, as a matter of fact, let me suggest anybody that calls me, call me between the hours of 2 and 5. Or 3 and 5. Yeah, 2 and 5. Don't call me before 2. And don't call me after 5 unless you come on at night. You can call me, and I'm, that's New York time. You can call me in the evening, maybe between 8:30 and 10. Okay, Eastern Standard Time. And at some point, I may just not answer the phones other than during those hours. So maybe we can get people used to doing the calls during that time period, and that'll leave me the time to do the other things that I have to do. Okay?
Okay, John, that's for Kentucky, in case you want to get back to Kentucky. I think you... if Rachel calls me again, I'll tell her to call you, and I'll point her to this meetup if she isn't listening right now. And then the other thing is, in North Carolina, there's what I consider to be more leadership over there in the form of a person named Doug, who I think he took your last week's Monday night meetup really to heart, because he made and published and tried to work on a memorandum written, very good memorandum, very well written, to the local sheriff. And he found out that his local sheriff is not actually an oath keeper, as far as I understand. And there's a new group by Sheriff Mack that's oath keepers. So there is, in the state of North Carolina, if you focus on them, and there's the Doug guy, and Howard is also a contact, if you're going to focus your effort in that direction. And
what I'm going to do starting next month sometime is I'm going to start getting another meeting going once a week online with leaders. Of course, anybody can join us. It won't be over the radio airwaves, though. We'll make it private. And it's really just going to be a leadership meeting, really trying to get the state coordinators going. And, of course, any county coordinator can join us. But I'm going to try to start that maybe next month, March.
Okay. One other thing, then, if I have the time, is Lysander Spooner. He's the one who wrote Trial by Jury, which actually I would say my reading of his work has got me fully in the same group as what I think National Liberty Alliance is. And I'm just going to ask you if you would listen to this quote from what he calls the science of justice, and it's real simple. It's, if I can quote.
Good.
Through all time, so far as history informs us, wherever mankind have attempted to live in peace with each other, both the natural instincts and the collective wisdom of the human race have acknowledged and prescribed as an indispensable condition obedience to this one universal obligation, viz., that each should live honestly toward each other. The ancient maxim makes the sum of man's legal duty to his fellow men to be simply this: to live honestly, to hurt no one, to give to everyone his due. This entire maxim is really expressed in the simple words, to live honestly. Since to live honestly is to hurt no one and give to everyone his due.
Well, amen to that. And we do have Spooner up on our website. If you go to our jurors tab and you come down to Trial by Jury, we have both his entire book up there in PDF form. Downloadable, it's free of charge, and also we have all of that, his entire book, on 21 MP3s. I think it's about 16 hours to be read all the way through. People can download those MP3s, put them in your MP3 player, play them in your car when you drive around, or just play them on your computer, or whatever you want to do. Lysander Spooner, Trial by Jury, right up there on our page. Anything else?
Okay, Yeah, I could talk to you forever, but what...
Well, we do have a few more callers, so go ahead.
What keeps
One
occurring
more.
In my mind is the concept of there being victims, and the obvious victim is a child, and
right.
if we do not stand in between the targeted victim and the criminal who's targeting them, then there's going to be a crime. So
absolutely.
So
one of the things we're going to be talking about, one of the things we're going to be talking about in New York in our next meeting, which should be coming up hopefully, I don't know, maybe we can get together this week or something. I don't know. We got to, maybe next week. We got to get together. But we're going to talk about backing each other up. We've got a lot of people in New York. And if someone has a problem and they got to go to court, especially a problem with someone assaulting them from the standpoint, we need to get there and help that person out and back them up. We need to be in the courtroom. We need to make our presence known, and we'll write papers for each other, and we'll talk for each other, and we'll do what we have to do to make sure nobody is injured by doing the right thing here. And each state needs to do the same thing. They need to get together and prepare for that kind of thing. You know, if someone has a problem because they're carrying a weapon and they have to go to court, we need to be in that courtroom. We need to work with the people that are working with us, and we need to support them, and we need to intimidate the judge with them to do what has to be done to take care of that problem.
Okay, one more thing then is the real power of defense of the innocent is what it is. And the real problem is that these, what you call Nisi Prius courts, are the counterfeit defense of the innocent. And if people do not understand that, they will fall into that false consent, which is just a crime in progress.
Well, amen.
That's
knowing your enemy. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, appreciate that. Right. Bye-bye, Joe. Okay, let us take our next caller, 904-704, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Thank you, John. This is Joaquin from Florida. How are you?
How you doing, Joaquin? Good, thank you.
Pretty good, thank you. I just want to tell a little bit, my name was mentioned about the bond of the officers here in St. John's County. Well, we do have a bond from the controller of the St. John's County, which is very good. She was very attentive and respectful for our demand, and she responded, and we got the certified copy from her, and it's on the records of the common law grand jury. So there are also others who have not yet responded, but... if they don't, we will proceed according to the law. If they don't have bond, and the law requires in our Constitution that they should, well, then we will point it to them, you know, they better fix it, or if not, face the law like we all face the law. So
hey,
I'm giving that back to you, okay?
Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you. We have to hold them accountable. So.
Yeah.
Okay, how's Hagen doing down there?
We are very busy. We have our step to do, step one by one, following what we have in the National Liberty Alliance, because we are working as one, not everybody doing whatever they want. We have a very good step to follow that, thanks to you, you know, based on your experience, and we are not committing failures and mistakes, because you already have the experience. And it's working, and that is very important to tell you, John. Thank you very much for all your work. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for guiding us in the right steps. So that's what we are doing in Florida. We are also taking the steps to make the elections as many as we can in all the counties, and then proceed as one and talking with each county what is best, even though that we are independent, but we do not want to damage other countries with our own private actions. That's why we talk, we have meetings, and we are moving along together, not as fast as we would like. But I think we are following also New York, and we are following other states, and I think we are doing a lot in a very short time that we are here in becoming low grand jury less than a year, you know. And mm-hmm. I will
yep.
ask to everybody just to pitch in, and if we can pay the $5 a month, we can do it, you know. Like you said, we spend more maybe in coffee and other things. But this is mm-hmm. the future for our children, and we should, if we can, and you have the blessing from our Lord to be a benefactor, I believe that this cause of the Communion Law Grand Jury is very important for us and for our children. So if you can, please help and donate here in our National Liberty Alliance. I return it back to you, John. Thank you very much.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you, Joaquin. Anybody that can participate in, giving us $5 a month to hold up the course that we have here at National Liberty Alliance, we do have a pretty high course factor here. And so we're asking everybody to give us $5 a month. You know, that's 16 cents a day. That's less than the tax you would pay on a cup of coffee and a roll of butter in most places anyway. Okay, let's go to our next caller, 201. And you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and just click on that donate button, and you can set up through credit card $5 a week or debit card $5 a week, and it'll be automatic, and you won't miss it. Okay, 201 from New Jersey, 201-240. You got the mic.
Hi, Jason again. How are you doing, John? Fantastic. Yeah, excellent job. People are really speaking up, and that's fantastic. One thing, it's not as much a question, but something to think about. We know that taxes are illegal, indirectly or directly, or fees. We need to be thinking of a future that we have to start thinking about other sustainable ways to have an income for our common law grand juries and for our communities. So with that, we have to start, you know, being reinventing how we're going to create jobs and creating revenues. And one thing that we got to do is that that's something to think about. And I've been trying to communicate with you with what I'm trying to do with my organization that I've been trying to talk with you about. And again, it's not just for me. It's not what I can do for you. It's what we can do together. I'm not here to sell you anything. Mm-hmm. I'm here to build with everyone. And there are a lot of great people out there.
Yeah, we do have what we got as far as the grand juries going in each county. Once you get into the court system, all expenses will be paid. Four salaries will be paid. Plus a secretary. Every county will have to have a secretary, so there'll be five individuals actually. But they have to be, you know, we really want a good professional secretary to be able to handle what we're doing. And so that should cover those costs there. National Liberty Alliance will always remain independent, and it'll depend upon the support of the people, that are part of it across the nation. And we will become we'll continue to be a place for people to get educated, a place for people to get information, a place for people to communicate, and a place, we're going to get into the political process later on. We were part of the political process, but we've set that aside. And when we talk about the political process, we're not talking about politics. We're not talking about discussing, you know, right, left, or any of those things. The political process is really, as George Washington spoke about, it really is ultimately just supporting the Constitution and getting good statesmen in there, where Democrats and Republicans work together without any talking of politics at all, because it shouldn't be anything to do with politics. It's our political process. So we want decent statesmen to be elected, so we want to support only decent people to be elected for the offices that we need to fill. And working in the committee man process, that'll give us the opportunity to get involved in every single election district across the nation. And that's huge, to be able to get access working with the committeemen to deliver messages of how the judicial process works and get people involved to get them a copy of the jurist handbook and the Constitution. You know, in New York alone, you know, we have, goodness, I forget the number we have, how many election districts. But I know in my county we have 249 election districts. So we have one Democrat and one Republican working in each one of them. If they're doing the real thing, the right thing, we can be talking to the people, getting them to understand what it is we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance with both the judicial and the political processes. But anyway, that's pretty much where we're at.
Again, one thing that should be understood, too, is that I agree with getting involved in the electoral process, but it shouldn't be a Democrat or a Republican or Tea Party. It just should be for the people. And the outrageousness of our system is that a man with a big pocket, the machine, always beats out a man with has more sense than the party's man, because he's a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to see we don't have to
spend
so much.
Yeah, the problem right now with the parties is it's been taken over by two private organizations which call themselves the Democratic and the Republican Party. No, they're gone. When we the people take it back, we'll be called the Democratic and the Republican Party, but not without the association. They have to cease and desist from calling themselves that. So they won't be able to use those names. Those names were meant for the people to use. But we're going to fuse the two parties together. You know, the original Jefferson Party was a Democratic-Republican Party. And so eventually I'd love to see that fuse back together. When the politics disappears, then at that point we won't have that problem. You see, politics, the only reason we have politics is because the right fights to get a hold of the legislators to make statutes against the left, and then the left tries to get in power to get a hold of the legislators to make statutes to control the right. And they go back and forth, and all they're doing is imprisoning each other, and things get worse and worse and worse. Once people understand that statutes are not law, and we'll start to eliminating all those statutes, and we'll get into the common law, that politics will be no more. There's nothing for them to argue about. So you will remove that whole process of politics. It'll be gone. Anyway, got a lot of noise coming through your mic. I don't know what's going on over there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got a couple of calls left, and we're coming up at the end.
And, well, thank you very much. I apologize for that noise in the background. Anyway, I'll talk to you after it's now from 2 to 5 and then from 8 to 10. That's
right.
Really good. That way it gives you time to do your business. And
If anybody has a question... Only if it's important, you know, and you have to call me. You know, Mondays are the time to really talk. We're going to start a national meeting for, you know, talking about organizing, and that'll only be an hour, maybe a week. And but if you really have to call me and I can't wait till Monday to bring it up here, then give me a call, you know?
All right. Thank you so much, John.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's take the next caller. 904. 704, you got the mic. You've been unmuted. You should have heard. You've been unmuted.
Thank you.
904.
This is Joaquin again.
Oh, we already got you.
I should turn on number one back, or what? How can I lower my hand?
Well, that's okay. No, that's okay. I'll see you now. I had hit out of order, so now I'm back in order,
okay.
So I'm okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next caller, 541-260, 541-260. You should be hearing you unmuted. And by the way, this is the last call that I have on the switchboard here. If anybody else wants to talk, click 1, and you'll raise your hand. We do have another 15 minutes left. 541-260, go right ahead. I hear somebody there, 541-260.
Oh, hi, John.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, hold on. I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button. 541-241-260. Go right ahead.
I'm actually just listening. You can go ahead and ask me.
Go ahead. We can hear you. 260. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Pass me. I'm just listening.
Okay. There? You don't have a question?
No.
Okay.
Sir.
Okay. All right. We're out of callers. We have a lot of people on the line. If anybody wants to ask a question, just hit the one button and we'll pick up your call. 760-447. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. This is Joe Kelly in California again.
Hey, Joe. I think I just heard from you today, haven't we? Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a surprise to me that you're not booked. But
well, we do have a lot of callers
on
the line, just not a lot of people with questions. So.
Okay, so maybe if I just restate a problem that I've had all my life is being in a position where I didn't know what to do. But let me say that, and I guess it's like a broken record. When the Waco was happening, do you remember Waco?
I remember Waco clearly.
Okay, and while I was on the line, while I was at a meeting in Los Angeles, in front of a lot of people, which is something I don't normally do, I'm a shy person, I told you, and I'm telling you again, I was ready with two kids, a 70-hour-a-week job, take my M1 and go and shoot congressmen because of what happened in Waco, and my wife can attest to that.
Yeah, well, you got to be careful with that kind of language, though, because, you know, people will take you serious and relate that to National Liberty Alliance. So, I mean, look, at everybody's angry about what took place in Waco, at least most people, that people who understand what really happened, okay? And look, at there's hell to pay, but it's going to be through the courtroom. It's coming. I believe it is. Justice will come. And if it doesn't come
okay.
in this world, it most surely will come in the world to come.
Okay, I'm just telling you where this particular individual is. You could look up Athens, Tennessee. You can look up my name, Joe Kelly, and you could look up in a browser Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. Honorable mention, I put in an essay. I won honorable mention on the events of Athens, Tennessee. That's where the ballot access in Athens, Tennessee was so corrupt that the people took up their guns and they retook the ballot access. But the next thing I did, because it didn't pan out with the March on Washington armed, what I did next was I ran for Congress. I was on the ballot in 1996, Libertarian candidate in San Bernardino County. So that was the more reasonable thing to do. But what I've learned since then is it was only reasonable in the context of learning what is the problem. And the problem is there's no effective defense of the innocent. And so when I see something like what you are doing over the years and the years and the years of me being on this particular crusade, protecting the innocent, is that it is a historical process that is due to every victim. And if there's a victim anywhere that is not made or afforded this process, then it isn't due process. It isn't law. It may be legal, but it's not law. So,
well, it's not even legal either. Because it's a fraud, it's not even legal. I know people use that phrase, and I went along with that in the beginning, but when I really thought it out, yeah, maybe legal, but it's not lawful. No, it's not even legal. It's a fraud from day one. It's monstrous. It's evil, and it's not legal. They try to make it legal. It's not.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to say and trying to inspire other people that are maybe not responding, maybe not calling, maybe not joining, maybe not understand it, is there's a whole lot of word magic out there that has to do with whether or not this word or that word is the right word. And what it boils
right
down to is if there is a child in front of you and there is somebody injuring that child will be injured unless somebody stands in between them. And so
And justice needs to prevail. There has to be restitution, and the justice needs to prevail there.
Okay, so
and you know what? Yeah.
What?
Go ahead.
Every innocent person should be afforded due process of law, or it isn't, right?
Right.
So
exactly.
So where are those defenders of those innocent people when everywhere you look, they're all counterfeit? So when you understand that and when you start realizing that, then you start looking in the right direction, and if you look as long as I have, then you see the genuine article when you see it, and that's what I'm saying. The National Liberty Alliance, based on what you have done so far, is right on track. It's available to everybody. It's due process of law, due anybody, as you say repeatedly over and over again, but it only works for those that know it, something along those lines. So if you're on the fence, get off the fence, because the fence is for suckers.
Absolutely. Okay, we got two other callers, so let me move on. Only got about 8 minutes left. I appreciate your time, Joe, and thanks for that.
Thank you.
Okay, all right, let me go to the next caller. We got two more callers. We'll try to get them both in. 919-251, you should be hearing. You are unmuted now.
Well, that should be me. This is William
that
Duff
should be
in North Carolina. Yeah. I don't know my phone number. I just typed that in the text. But
okay.
I do know my area code. Anyway,
okay.
My name is William Duff, and I'm in North Carolina. First of all, I want to ask you a question. Probably it's a stupid question, but you answer everything 400, 500,000 times anyway, so bear with me. You keep talking about elections. There's elections going on everywhere.
Right.
I don't understand that. What are the elections for?
Well, let me explain. What we're doing is we're electing back the process by the people coming together and the showing of the hands. Electing the process could be done by one person. But, of course, the honorable thing is to invite as many people as come. And if you got something good that's honest that can fix the problems we have in America, people will see it. You know, it is a simple solution once you look at it. And so when people they'll go along with it.
Yeah, I understand that. That's part of the problem. Wouldn't it make more sense for you to set the process in such a way as each and every grand jury elects its own process and only agrees to pursue the principle that this grand jury is supposed to be bringing about.
Yeah, really, all we're doing is constituting the grand juries. Okay, we're constituting them. In other words, saying we, the people of this county, want it back, and we're going to take it back, and we're going to establish it right here in the county. That's all we're doing. We're not electing individuals. We're not electing people. for electing the process back. And if you have 100 people show up, let's say the enemy got the word out and they said 99 people were enemies and you're the only one that wanted this, and they all voted against it, well, and you voted for it, well, fine. Still get a grand jury and you get the process back because it's a Fifth Amendment right. It's an unalienable right protected by the Fifth Amendment. There's a better way to say that.
I don't think it's an unalienable right, but I think it's a secure right.
Oh, it's
right.
No. It is an unalienable
right.
You can trace it right back into the Bible that the people will rule the people. Okay?
Well,
if you go back to Mosaic law, God lays it out. You know, you have it starts off in the family, then it grows to the group of 10, and then a group of 100, and a group of 1,000, and God set up a way to rule. And pretty much our system is the same way it's set up. You know, we're in counties, we have election districts, and so on and so forth. And the Fifth Amendment is where we find the jury. And Anton Scalia in United States versus Williams made it clear that it is not in the Constitution as far as the articles are concerned, but it's found in the Bill of Rights, which is the right of the people. And that's why they can't stop us from coming in.
In which amendment is it found?
Fifth Amendment.
Okay, that's
what I'm
going to
suggest for you to do.
Talking about?
Yeah, what I suggest you to do.
Answer my question.
Yes, it is in the Fifth Amendment, but there's one other caller left, and we only
got
a few minutes.
Is it the due process?
No, it talks about trial by jury. No, trial by jury. That's what it talks about. I'll leave your mic open. Let me just open the other mic at the same time because I don't want to leave this person off. We only got a couple of minutes. 573, do you want to pipe in? 556.
Yeah, John. This is Darrell Walton out of Missouri, Cole County.
How you doing, Darrell?
The reason I'm calling, Gerard told me a couple weeks ago where I could find a hand-size digital projector with memory, and I would like to get that company again because I can't find it.
Go online, and you'll find it at OfficeMax. And if you have a problem with that, well, give us a call during the week, and we'll talk to you about it, you know, in the evening.
That's
OfficeMax,
the problem. I've been looking in the wrong place. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, I'm back to you.
I just going to say one other thing. Is there any way to force a public library to allow access to audiovisual equipment to the public?
Not yet, but it's coming.
Okay.
When we get the authority back, we're going to make it happen. That's our buildings. We own it. People could use it. Let me go back to the caller before you. We were talking about what now? We were talking about the election and the process. What was the other question you had?
I'm only going to give you about a
minute and a half because we're going to go off the air in a minute and a half.
So
why don't you call in next weekend?
We don't need to do anything.
And to try to get in a little early, and you'll be up on the top.
No, I don't think I'm going to call back.
Okay, I appreciate your time anyway.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Okay, we'll come to the end of the time. We got 90 seconds left. And, again, I want to encourage everyone to get out there and do what has to be done. If the people don't step up and take control, we're going to lose it. So it's up to the people to do what they have to do. And you have to become educated. You know, as Jefferson said, I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. Thomas Jefferson. So let's become educated. Let's get the knowledge that we need in order to participate and take back the control. And let me end with Psalms 89:14, justice and judgment are the inhabitants of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Okay, we're about to go down. We got less than 30 seconds left. God bless all. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And please call up the other people in your counties, the coordinators, the organizers, the state coordinators and the county organizers, and make sure they get after these meetings. These are extremely important for us to communicate, to ask questions, and to hear the updates and see exactly what we're doing. Okay, good night all. Thanks.